Of mental health conditions as part of attempts to cut welfare spending. Here he is speaking earlier this year over concerns of overdiagnosis of ADHD.
There's an overdiagnosis, but also there are too many people being written off. There's too many people who just aren't getting the support they need.
And we'll hear more of how that will be provided. An LBC exclusive, only one in three British pubs are turning a profit. It's pretty bitter in that area. Plus, there's a dust-up at Eurovision. Bang to a possible fist fight over the exclusion of Israel in future contests and the very rules by which the contest is run. It's all after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, ministers have promised to expand the use of facial recognition by police forces across the country. A public consultation is starting on how the controversial technology should be used and regulated. LBC's Fraser Knight has more.
Just now, police can only compare the images with custody pictures that are already on their computer. But now the government is asking what people think of whether they should be given access to passport photos and immigration records so that they can find more wanted people. It's a controversial move that some campaigners have said would turn the UK into an open prison with a giant surveillance database.
The UK and Norway are to sign a defence pact to help hunt down Russian submarines in the North Atlantic. The deal, which will see their navies operate a combined fleet of warships, is aimed at protecting critical undersea cables. Sir Keir Starmer will meet his Norwegian counterpart in northern Scotland later. Negotiators from the US and Ukraine are due to meet for further talks in Miami. It will be their first talks since Vladimir Putin rejected the latest iteration of a US-led peace deal. Never-before-seen images of Jeffrey Epstein's infamous Caribbean island have been published by US lawmakers. The photographs show several bedrooms and a landline phone with a speed dial list and some names redacted. You can see the images on the LBC app. Buildings in parts of northwest England were shaken by an earthquake late last night. The British Geological Society says the 3.3 magnitude tremor was felt across the South Lakes and Lancashire. Zach Crawley and Joe Root have formed a century partnership as England's cricketers look to take control of the second Ashes test against Australia. A short time ago, the tourists were 122 for two in Brisbane. Ben Duckett and Ollie Pope were dismissed without scoring earlier in the day. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen at 96.92 after closing down 9 yesterday. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.14. LBC weather, rain moving northeastwards across the country, brighter with showers in southern England, Wales and Northern Ireland later. A high of 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Get hosting sorted with Black Friday deals on the UK's best broadband technology.
Oh, yeah?
Keep the extra guests entertained this winter with EETV.
So I can watch all me crime dramas.
While the rest of us have the football on.
That's right. Switch up subscriptions with Netflix Now, TNT Sports, and Discovery Plus. All powered by EE's ultra-fast full fiber. Sign me up. Switch to our award-winning bundles today.
Verify at ee.co.uk/claims. New customers, 62% UK availability. Terms apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after 7, Thursday, December the 4th, coming up a story that every parent and grandparent, everyone with any concern, must hear. The paedophile nursery worker who filmed himself on his work iPad, abusing children in his care as they slept. It is going to be some tough listening, but you do need to hear it. And we'll get to it immediately at the start of this show. Also, watching us, watching you, watching us, the idea of more facial recognition cameras. Speaking with me as recently as September, Commissioner of the Met, Sir Mark Rowley, defended the use and extended use of these cameras.
If you walked past that camera, the camera will, like, for a millisecond, grab an image of your face, work out whether you're wanted, and when you're not, it deletes it straight away. So your face is in that data for sort of a millisecond in the system, and then it's thrown away.
Do you believe those assurances? Plus, it's getting bitter in the pub business. LBC sees exclusive figures how few pubs are actually making a profit. Mark Wrigley owns the Atlas Bar in Manchester. He told LBC,
"We've been bled to death, but we're running out of money, we're running out of road, and it's just totally depressing. The MPs are not interested."
as it's announced that there will be a review to study the rising diagnoses of ADHD, the government promises there'll be more provision of SEND, special educational needs and disabilities, and we'll have the minister concerned on later in this hour. Plus, the figures are in. The most streamed artist on Spotify is no surprise. Way, way to go, Tay-Tay, Taylor Swift. But you can work out your listening age from Spotify. My team has done it. They might be in their 20s. Their listening is in their 70s, and I'll explain why later in the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Right at the top, let's say this is going to be some tough listening, and as I say with less frequency now, having been in this business for decades, many decades, four decades, I think, maybe, yeah, maybe more, actually. Every now and again, there's a story that comes on. It's increasingly rare now that this happens, that actually stops me in my tracks. And this was one when my colleague phoned me and told me about this yesterday afternoon. It is truly horrific. A prolific paedophile who passed vetting abused an unknown number of children at a nursery where parents were paying £2,000 a month. This has all been dealt with by the court, so we can have a full conversation. And here with all the details is LBC journalist who was at the hearing, Joseph Draper, joins me now. Joseph, morning.
Morning. Well, Nick, yeah, I've covered dozens, perhaps hundreds of court cases in my time. This was one of the most sickening that I can remember, and you could feel the horror, the pain in that courtroom as the parents of Vincent Chan's victims were forced to listen as those 26 charges were read out, describing how he filmed himself sexually abusing their children. They gasped, cried, understandably, as he pleaded guilty, his head bowed in the dock. And this was the result of what's been described as one of the most harrowing, complex child sex abuse investigations in the Metropolitan Police's history. And this is the moment at his home in Stanhope Avenue, Finchley, when officers finally arrested him.
You're also further under arrest for digital penetration of a minor. Okay. So same time of arrest, that's 10 to 8. You do not say anything, may help me defend, but do not mention when questioned, something which lays behind court and if you see me given evidence.
Yeah,
6449.
Yeah. There's no questions.
Yeah. Is there anything in here, anything? No weapons or anything like that,
yeah. And we heard at court how 45-year-old Vincent Chan worked at Bright Horizons Nursery on Finchley Road. That's since closed, Nick. It was in West Hampstead. And he took advantage of his position there to sexually abuse several of the toddlers he was trusted to care for. And his reign of terror there spanned 7 years, with police describing a calculated predatory pattern of abuse. Detective Superintendent Lewis Basford spoke outside of court yesterday.
He exploited the trust placed in him by the victims' families and the promise to care for their children, to infiltrate environments that should have been safe spaces and preying on vulnerable victims within their own safe havens. It was there that he committed some of the most abhorrent crimes imaginable.
And there are serious questions here, Nick, about the safeguarding, potential safeguarding failures, how this was allowed to happen for so long. He finally drew suspicion when his colleagues found a disturbing, demeaning video of one of the children on a work iPad, showing them falling asleep in their food. Police then arrested him, searched his home, found dozens of devices, 69 in total, finding on them a horrifying catalogue of videos showing his offending. But with those videos, officers were able to identify 4 of his victims. They are working to identify others. And we know a separate safeguarding review is being led by local authorities. A group of parents, too, are planning to take civil action against the company which ran that nursery. Alison Miller from Leday Solicitors represents them, and she read this statement outside of court.
How was someone like Vincent Chan employed? Why did safeguarding systems fail completely? And how were such horrific crimes against children able to continue for so long without the staff responsible for safeguarding at Bright Horizons Nursery acting?
Now, Bright Horizons tell us they're committed to supporting families. They've commissioned an independent expert to do a full review of their safeguarding practices. And as I say, Nick, this investigation is very much ongoing. The Metropolitan Police appealing for anyone who may have information about Chan, who may be worried that their child was targeted by him, to come forward. And he'll be sentenced in January.
Joseph Draper reporting for LBC. You heard Alison Miller mentioned there, 9 minutes after seven. Let's get Alison on now. Alison Miller is lead day partner, head of the abuse team acting for the families, and joins me now. I saw you on TV last night. This must have been one of the most harrowing cases you and your colleagues have ever worked on, Alison. Morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, it is. I mean, I'm an experienced abuse claims lawyer, and sadly, claims for abuse and mistreatment are my daily work. But even amidst that, this case is of particular gravity.
How confident are the police that they've managed to identify all of this man's victims?
Well, they haven't, Nick. The charges in court yesterday related to some of the victims, but there are two children against whom he sexually offended who have not been identified, and there are many devices and images still in the police's possession, which is a grave concern to my clients. They recognise that the police do have some resource constraints, but they feel that the review of these devices and images needs to be completed as soon as possible so that they can be told whether or not Chan does have any material relating to their child.
There's so many facts that jump out at me here, Alison, one of which you'll be closer to than I, obviously, is that this man passed an advanced vetting process. Well, it can't be that advanced or that complete, can it, surely?
Well, it appears that he was not known to the police previously, that's what we're told. But we are very concerned that he managed to work in the nursery setting for 7 years. I've heard from parents that there are wider concerns about this man's behaviour. Clearly, his crimes are appalling, but there are also concerns that he may have committed further offences of child neglect and mistreatment of children in his care. I've heard some very disturbing reports of him shouting at children, acting aggressively towards them, causing and inciting the young boys to fight and hurt each other, children coming home with unexplained bruises and injuries. And the parents have a lot of questions about how that was allowed to go on for so long.
You've referenced the parents, Alison. Are you able to give us a sense of how they've reacted to this and what they've been through?
Well, they're going through hell, Dick. They really are. I mean, they are, to some extent, relieved that Chan has pleaded guilty to the offences yesterday to spare them the ordeal of a trial, and that the judge said in court that he was going to receive a custodial sentence of many years. But there is so much, you know, to go through. There is so much unanswered. They have so many questions.
What can we say, and I know you're a skilled lawyer, so what can we say safely about Bright Horizons, the nursery itself, in your view, Alison?
Well, I note they're carrying out their own internal investigation. There's also an external local child safeguarding practice review that's been started by Camden Safeguarding Partners. But for the families' perspectives, they feel that something must have gone incredibly badly wrong here, and they want the nursery held to account for that. They feel there must have been failures of safeguarding practices, policies, a lack of understanding of safeguarding, and I have heard from families that concerns and complaints were raised, but perhaps not treated with the seriousness that they required. I mean, I'm not talking, so I should be clear that those complaints were not that families had witnessed child sex abuse, but that they were what had wider concerns about the environment at Bright Horizons and Chan's behaviour towards children.
If I'm moving you into an area where you don't feel comfortable, just say, are you able to give my listeners an idea of the sort of sentence Chan might be facing next month?
That is straying a bit outside my experience, but the judge did say that he was going to receive a custodial sentence of many years, and that is what my clients would expect.
Lastly, in coverage in one of the newspapers in which you feature, they make the point, this is the Daily Mail, last month a nursery worker, Thomas Waller, was sentenced to 10 years at a Young Offenders Institute after raping infants at a nursery in Surrey. Roxana Lecker, who was 22, was jailed for 8 years in September of this year after admitting badly harming 21 infants at a nursery in Twickenham. You may well have worked on these cases, but the broader point, our checks simply aren't working. How do they need to be changed, reviewed or altered? Alison.
Well, I am glad that the local child safeguarding practice review is being overseen nationally, and that ministers apparently are aware of this, because you're right, Nick, there does seem to be something gravely wrong with the sector, and that there needs to be more awareness and priority to child safeguarding among the nursery sector generally, where, you know, as it was said at the top of the story, parents are paying high fees. They're not paying high fees for children to be abused and neglected in this way.
Grateful for your time. Alison Miller, thank you. You're a partner with the firm Lee Day. You're head of the abuse team there, and you acted for some of the families involved in this. When you think, and I've got a friend who does a lot of coaching for, I think, football. It might be rugby as well. I can't remember. Anyway, they had to go through these advances. I think it's called DBS checks, I think they're called now. Not criminal background, because they're DBS. And quite rightly, because he's working with a kid who's under 15, he has to be checked because he's teaching them how to play football or rugby, whichever it is, right? So he does all of that. And he's not allowed to go out and teach them until he passes. How on earth has this vile individual, Vincent Chan, and let's hope he gets a long time in jail, or before him Roxana Lecker, or before him Thomas Waller, how on earth did they ever pass the checks? How do they need... These are our most vulnerable, aren't they? These are literally, infants asleep. Our most vulnerable, and our checking system has clearly failed. We'll get your views on that. Also coming up after the news, the Labour MP suspended for rebelling against Rachel Reeves' budget. But what is it that's caused that rumpus? Plus...
The government's being accused of hypocrisy as we reveal the huge air miles racked up by Ed Miliband's climate envoy in the space of just a year. I'm LBC's Henry Riley with the exclusive.
7:15 now, time for LBC News headlines and Thomas Watts.
Ministers have set out plans to step up the use of facial recognition technology across the country. Negotiators from the US and Ukraine are due to meet in Miami later. And politicians in the US have released never-before-seen images of Jeffrey Epstein's infamous private island in the Caribbean. LBC weather, rain moving northeastwards, brighter with showers in southern England, Wales and Northern Ireland later. A high of 9 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M23 southbound, heading down towards Junction 9 at Gatwick Airport. There's been another accident on that stretch, and there's a load of debris across the road. The M25's busy anti-clockwise to the Dartford Tunnel. It's because a lorry broke down earlier. It has been cleared, but it's still very slow. And also on the M25, on the northern stretch, there are queues from Junction 26 at Waltham Abbey to 24 at Potter's Bars. That's going anti-clockwise. It was after an accident that happened earlier. Very busy in Catford on the South Circular Road, both ways. That's following an accident. And also the problems continue on Southeastern. There are no trains between Lewisham and Hayes. And that's because of an ongoing investigation. And on the Underground, there are severe delays on the Metropolitan line.
This is LBC.
Get that Euro Millions feeling with this Friday's £107 million mega jackpot. So super, you've got to dance.
So let's dance like never before.
On a beach?
On your own private island.
Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot subject to currency fluctuations. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Across the world, millions of people are living through conflict, forcing families to flee their homes. Sheila Fogarty spoke with Christian Aid CEO Patrick Watt about the decades-long conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
They forced 5 million people from their homes. They killed thousands. It needs people's attention because it's the world's biggest humanitarian crisis. We're asking members of the public in this country to respond to this appeal.
Listen back to the full interview on Global Player, thanks to Christian Aid, LBC.
At Fidelity, we've been helping our customers plan for their retirements for nearly 20 years. From understanding how much you'll need, to combining multiple pensions, we offer expert insights, excellent service, and even financial advice, so you can feel confidently invested in your future. For pensions, advice, or investment accounts, be invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Transferring is not right for everyone. Terms apply.
With Lloyd's Home Insurance, there's £50,000 to be won. When you cover the glassware no one's actually allowed to use, or the garden shed, a.k.a. your fortress of calm. Rated excellent on Trustpilot, you can be confident with your cover when you take out a new home insurance policy and be in for a chance to win £50,000. Get a quote with Lloyd's today. Buy a new home insurance policy direct from us by the 31st of December 2025. Offer T's and C's apply. Policy terms, limits and exclusions apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
18 minutes after 7, come to some of your reactions on that truly shocking, horrific story. I'll tell you about the front page of the newspapers, and actually, it's interesting, there's no two front pages share the same story.
extraordinary. It's almost like a Monday when they battle a little bit. So let's just pick a few at random, because we won't do all of them. Concerning story for the front page of the Daily Mail, Meghan's father, as in Meghan Markle, fighting for life. He's in intensive care in a hospital in the Philippines, and obviously we wish him a recovery there, but it all seems pretty grave. Front page of the Daily Express, Starmer's mission to crush our high streets. That's the view, by the way, of Kemi Badenoch, so she probably would have that view, wouldn't she? The Daily Telegraph has a story that we're going to be looking at in more detail. Police plan for Face ID in every town. The cameras would scour the entire passport photo database, despite fears over privacy. And let's finish with the Times newspaper, the review to study rising diagnoses of ADHD. We're going to be talking about this. Actually, the government are going to be talking about increased provision for SEND, Special Educational Needs and Disabilities. And the minister joining us later in this hour. But as that is taking place, West Streeting orders an independent review of the diagnosis of mental health conditions as part of the government's attempt to cut welfare spending. To the LBC app. That's going with the story that I mentioned about facial recognition. Police ramp up use of the controversial tactic, and there is no shortage of controversy. And the Independent website is saying that, sadly, those possible talks to try and reach a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine are not going in particularly right direction, with number 10 describing what's coming out of the Kremlin as claptrap, deriding Putin's war threat. It all gets a little bit testy over there. Now, not surprisingly, and I didn't think many of you would want to talk about this and make phone calls, but I will feature some of the social media that's coming in, and this I wasn't aware of. This comes from Sarah. All the DBS checks is that you don't have a criminal record. Workplace that needs to monitor its own staff and follow up if any concerns. Seems like he was given a lot of opportunities to be alone with children. And this seems to be the problem. I'm sorry at my utter ignorance here. And of course you're right, James in Ealing makes the same point. If a person isn't already known to police and has no previous connections, then this DBS check isn't going to flag them. It's not as if a DBS check can predict the future or read what's in hearts and minds. I think claiming checks failed is a bit disingenuous. It didn't fail. Chan simply hadn't offended prior to this. James, you're right. Sarah, you're right. My partner Nikki says exactly the same thing. The DBS screening hasn't failed. It only checks if you have any criminal records. So you are all right, and I am wrong, and I'm very happy to say that. But something, we need to do something, don't we? So now it really does fall to the nursery, each individual nursery, to have better monitoring of their staff. And it would appear, as I mentioned earlier, this is not alone. Just in where we September, the last 3 months, three high-profile cases have been dealt with. We'll come to more of your reactions, I sense, over social media, because it's not a particularly easy one to talk about now. There's no easy times for the Labour Party either. As one MP has been suspended, he's a revolting Labour MP, as in revolting against the budget. But what is the cause of his rebellion? LBC's political editor Natasha Clark joins me in the studio to spell it out. Natasha, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Now, you'll know that we've been hearing some very, very loud protests from those tractors up and down Whitehall for such a long time now. It is what has been dubbed the family farm tax. Nick, this was the sound last week as they descended on Westminster again on the day of the budget. And now, as you say, another Labour MP has had the whip removed after voting against some of those budget measures. Now, dozens of other MPs abstained on this motion and did not vote, but one lone MP voted against them. That was the MP for Penrith and Solway, Marcus Campbell Saviours. He said that he had promised constituents farms would not face the kind of taxes that the Chancellor outlined last year. That was the 20% inheritance tax being paid on agricultural land, businesses worth more than £1 million. He was speaking in the House of Commons on the budget debate on Tuesday, outlining why he felt he could not support the government.
Changes which leave many, not least elderly farmers, yet to make arrangements to transfer assets, devastated at the impact on their family farms. Before the election, many farmers feared this was coming. Some transferred in advance. Others contacted Labour candidates who reassured them, based on public commitments from the then Shadow Secretary of State for DEFRA, that APR would not be touched. Madam Deputy Speaker, I was one of those Labour candidates, and it's for that reason I'll be voting against the budget resolution enabling these changes.
Now, the Treasury Minister, James Murray, speaking in that government debate, insisted the changes are made in a fair way forward. But of course, Nick, just remember what happened about all of this a few months ago. LBC revealed last month four Labour MPs had been given the whip restored. It came after they repeatedly rebelled against the government, mainly over working changes to benefits and welfare. Of course, that was something that the government later completely U-turned on. It just goes to show that having such a huge parliamentary Labour Party, Keir Starmer is going to face these problems again and again on several different issues. He's obviously forcing through these changes on the budget. The government have come up with a few measures to try and soften the blow in this budget, allowing that you basically will be able to transfer some of those assets between your spouse in a bid to soften the blow. But I don't think these farmers are going away anytime soon, Nick.
But I sense Mr. Campbell-Savers is not going to find many allies. There aren't other people, do you imagine, who's going to join his merry throng?
Well, there were others. I think almost 20 other Labour MPs abstained, but they just decided that they didn't want to lose the Labour whip. And obviously, there is a big whipping operation in the government trying to keep them all inside, trying to stop another such welfare rebellion from ever happening again. But it is fair to say that there is some unhappiness, deep unhappiness, in rural communities about what Labour is doing. Some of these...
Is this Red Labour, as it's called, or something like that?
Yeah, and some of these places, you know, have never voted for a Labour MP in their lives. And like I say, you know, you heard him just there in that clip talking about how these MPs had sought assurances before the government came in. They're not going to touch this tax. We're not going to touch farmers' tax. And they feel very let down. And, you know, he was making a very powerful argument, I thought, in the Commons yesterday. I am not going to be the person that's going to stand up and go to my constituents. I can't look them in the eye and say, I didn't fight this at every turn.
And just before I let you leave the studio, Rachel Reeves has ordered an inquiry into the leak of her own budget. Is that correct? Am I getting this correct?
Yes, I'm not quite sure whether they'll get to the bottom of that.
Because, that's extraordinary, isn't it?
Look, it didn't come from the Office for Budget Responsibility. It came from the heart of the Treasury. It came from them basically not allowing... And there is this fear in the Treasury, and it's been there for a while. I think since the budget of Liz Truss, they don't want to surprise anybody. They don't want to basically
spook the markets.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's exactly why the last few budgets we have seen brief after brief after brief. Now, the Treasury announcing yesterday they are launching this leak into this budget. It's a week after the budget, and you've now decided to launch this inquiry. It's quite laughable.
Well, they think they're through the worst now over there. I mean, it's been some pretty negative headlines, but they must think, it's a week and a day on. They've weathered the storm?
I think they probably have weathered the storm. Obviously, it's been a very difficult week for the Chancellor. She's seen the resignation of Richard Hughes from the OBR. She's faced accusations that she has misled the public over what she knew. I don't think that the MPs that are chattering behind closed doors, the ministers that you see in the papers making some very disparaging comments about the PM and the Chancellor, I don't think that's gone away, but it's probably enough just to get them to hold on, I think, for a few more months, potentially until next May's local elections.
LBC's political editor Natasha Clark reporting 7:26 is the time now. If you're just joining us, we're discussing this horrific story, which was covered on LBC yesterday. A man called Vincent Chan pleading guilty to 26 charges in court. His victim's family wept as they demanded answers from the nursery bosses who failed him. He's a prolific paedophile. Put yourself in the shoes of those parents who are spending £2,000 a month so their children could be looked after by the Bright Horizons Nursery in North London. And this man, Chan, took pictures and videos of his victims while on his work pad, while they were in his care. Police say it's one of the, quotes, most significant and disturbing investigations of its kind in recent history, close quotes. And listen to this. Detectives, when they went to his home, found more than 25,000 child abuse images. Officers fear there could be many more. Police contacted the relatives of 700 children who have been in his care during the 7 years that he worked there. So this company that says it takes the care of its children very seriously and has launched an internal investigation and an independent investigation. But for 7 years, this man was allowed to continue. One assumes it started early on, of course. The judge, David Arenberg, who is a KC, told Chan he will face many years in jail when sentencing comes up on January the 23rd. He admitted charges including 5 counts of sexual assault. I won't go into more detail because it's particularly distasteful at any time, particularly at breakfast time. Now, he started working at the Finchley Road Nursery in West Hampstead after passing what's called an advanced vetting process and reference checks back in 2017. He became a nursery nurse and was promoted to what's called a room leader. But this is thought to have limited his access to children, so he asked to be demoted to a role in which he fed, dressed and cleaned the children, which allowed him to carry on with those appalling acts. We're trying to work out how checks, and of course, as many of you have pointed out, the DBS checks, that's only going to find out if someone's committed a crime. So in this instance, he hadn't. He was able to get the check, so he carried on. But as I said right at the top of the show, just since September, there have been two other high-profile cases. Someone called Roxana Lecker, who was 22, 8 years jailed in September, badly harming 21 infants at a nursery in Twickenham. November, Thomas Waller, 10 years at a Young Offenders Institute after raping infants at a nursery in Surrey. We need a better checking system. We'll have to try and work out what it might be. More on that after the news. In other news, and coming up after the news, you're going to be hearing from a government minister. Access to early SEN, special educational needs and disabilities access across the country through Best Start Family Hubs. This, as the Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, orders an independent review of the diagnosis of mental health conditions. Health Secretary is said to be concerned about the sharp rise in diagnoses of mental illness, autism, ADHD, which have become the most common reason for a sickness benefit claim. So that is a related story. We'll be looking at that as well. Plus, to the Women's Institute, Jam and Jerusalem. Gerald Stone chairs the Women's Institute, announcing the decision to ban transgender women in a video posted to social media yesterday.
We know many of you will find this extremely painful. We do too. But this doesn't change our firm belief that transgender women are women.
But have the WI put themselves in a jam over that. Plus a very fight for its future from the Sublime. Waterloo by ABBA winning the Eurovision in 1974. From the Sublime to the Ridiculous. Hard Rock Hallelujah winning in 2006. But they are saying there's a fight for the very soul of the Eurovision Song Contest, a watershed meeting in Geneva. So what are all the fights and feuds about? I'll tell you later in the show. It's 7.30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC News Time. Thomas Watts.
An expansion of the use of facial recognition technology could bring passport photos and immigration records into the system. Ministers have set out plans to ramp up the use of the controversial technology by police. The US is to hold further talks with Ukraine after Russia rejected a proposed peace deal. President Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, will meet the head of Kiev's National Security Council in Miami later. New images and video of Jeffrey Epstein's private island in the Caribbean have been released by politicians in the US. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee say they are a harrowing look behind Epstein's closed doors. You can see the pictures on the LBC app. Today's weather, rain moving northeastwards across the country, brighter with showers in southern England, Wales and Northern Ireland, a high of 9 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
Pubs have definitely been up against it in the last few years. But now we have this. As a result of a revaluation of business rates in the budget, the British Institute of Innkeepers says that the next few years will see fewer than 1 in 10 pubs actually be profitable. If you own a business on the high street, these business rate changes are causing you sleepless nights.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Great to see you back at Specsavers. Okay, could you read out the letters on the wall for me?
Yep. D-E-A-L-S? Yeah, D-E-A-L-S. Deals.
Oh, right. Our Black Friday deals are eye-catching, but the letter chart's over here.
Oh, sorry.
At Specsavers, we've got all sorts of unmissable Black Friday deals, like up to £50 off one pair of designer glasses. Offer ends on 7th of December 2025. Conditions apply. Ask in store for details.
They did it again. Flour instead of flowers. On my birthday. And 95 minutes late. But it's hard to leave when you've shared so much. Your postcode. Your gluten intolerance. Then I saw it. 25% off your first Ocado shop. Plus, free delivery. And I just knew I'd found the online supermarket of my dreams. Ocado. Life delivered. Geographical restrictions. Min spend £60. Max saving £20. Charges and Christmas restrictions apply. New customers only. Terms at Ocado.com.
A message from TfL.
I saw Alicia's photo in my newsfeed. All I can think of is her family. How they're getting on. If they're getting on. I didn't look when I pulled out. And she never made it home. Sounds crazy, but it felt like her motorbike came out of nowhere. But I know the truth. I didn't look again.
Drivers, take another look, not a life. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
Caring for our most vulnerable, making safeguarding safer. How should we go about it? More on that later. 7.33. Into the world of business and finance. Joined by Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM. And what's happening over at Heathrow Airport? Christian, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, it's been pretty contentious among airports, well, all over the country, frankly, about the amount you have to pay to drop off outside those terminals, dropping off travellers. The price at Heathrow is going up from £6 to £7, but what's got people chattering this morning, Nick, is that they're going to impose a blanket £80 fine should anybody stay for, I think, longer than 10 minutes. So if you're taking too long to help somebody into the terminal or to say your goodbyes, you better watch out. Other airports charge an extra fee per minute after your drop-off time has expired. Heathrow are just going to get straight to the chase and say if you stick around for too long on the drop-off zone, which we've increased the price of, by the way, to £7, we will then hit you with another £80. Heathrow says that this is going to enhance the customer experience.
God. But what if you've got someone who has disability of some sort? You have to get the wheelchair out, or just an elderly... you'd have to get an elderly person out the back of the car. What are you meant to do then?
Well, indeed, you know, parking out there can be a bit tricky at the best of times. And indeed, sometimes there's a fairly long slog to where you've actually got to get to, isn't there? So, I imagine that there will be one or two people caught out by this. But Heathrow say that it's actually going to ease congestion and improve traffic flows. And it will enhance the experience for those using the terminal drop-offs properly.
Well, let's see what my listeners make of it in a few moments. We stay with the airline sector, in a sense. British Airways?
Yes, well, if you've got over the fact that whoever dropped you off just outside your first-class lounge, Nick, might end up having to pay for the long goodbye that you insist upon, what can you get for your BA Air Miles? Well, the airline's going to change that a little bit. They're blaming the increase in air passenger duty, the taxes increased on the airline industry at the budget. They're going to now sort of jack up the amount of points, they're travellers' points that you have to cash in order to get discounts or indeed free flights. So there's going to be changes to that, quite substantial changes, actually. I'm looking here at the cost of a one-way business class flight from Heathrow to Geneva is going to go from 15,000 of their Avios points plus £12 on top to about 16,500 points and a £15 fee. So it's all getting a little bit pricier. As you can imagine, if you're trying to cash in your points to zip back and forth across the Atlantic or further afield, then you're going to have to end up digging in and spending even more of them.
City AM online has got in and among the workplace. Gen Zers are unhappy. Why?
A couple of new reports, one out today from a workplace engagement platform called Kahoot, and another study by Trinity College London. And they've shone a bit of a light on how Gen Z, that's the youngest cohort in the workforce at the moment, are getting on. Most of them say that they've experienced criticism from older colleagues. Criticism from older colleagues due to stereotypes about young people. 47% say that they've been subject to being disapproval by older colleagues because they're too passionate or outspoken. 46% say that they often get told off because of the use of their informal language or their slang or their sense of humour. I don't know if any of that ever goes over your head, Nick. And the Trinity College survey in particular was interesting, found that 42% of young people in the workforce find themselves anxious about working with people they don't know, 40% concerned about small talk. Quite a few of them expressed anxiety over having to use a telephone, and not many of them like getting up early in the morning. So these might not be absolutely groundbreaking statistics, but I do think they shine a bit of a light, and as ever, there will be plenty of young people who have got up to work this morning and thought, I don't recognise any of that. But there will be plenty for whom these findings probably do paint a fair picture.
And if, like me, you get confused between your Gen Zers and your baby boomers, Gen Zers currently are aged between 13 and 28, typically. Why will publicans be hoping that Thomas Tuchel's troops go all the way next year?
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're not alone in that optimism. But should it be the case that England in the World Cup next summer played out across North and South America, should it be the case that we get through to at least the quarterfinals, then it might be that pubs will be able to pour their pints until 1 a.m. If they successfully apply for those licences. The Home Secretary is going to extend the rules around opening hours here because those matches are going to kick off quite late over in the States, particularly in South America, because of the temperature. So it might be that matches start at sort of 8 p.m, even 11 p.m. And if that is the case, the government says, well, look, we'll let pubs on a case-by-case basis put in an application to the council to keep serving through till at least 1 a.m. It's not a blanket lifting of existing regulations and rules, but the government's going to have a consultation on it and say that they're very keen that this will, the red tape is cut away and that football fans and pubs and across the country can serve right the way through those matches if we get that far, Nick.
Well, that's the big if, isn't it? Christian May, Editor-in-Chief of City AM, thanks for your input. We're going to be talking more about pubs with Emma McClarkin in this LBC research that's found only one in three, or 33% of pubs, turn a profit. More on that in a moment. Tom is in Welland Garden City to talk about the story with which we started the show, which is this awful sexual abuse of infants at the nursery in North London. Tom, your take on this. I understand you work with children. You're a teacher, is that right?
Yes, I work in a special needs school in London.
Do you? Right, that's interesting. I've got another question for you at the end on that one as well. But let's start with a little bit. How safe are our safeguarding rules?
I think the parameters are there, but that's just like your first line of defence. So essentially your DBS is a moment in time check to see if anyone is known to the police, has criminal records,
yep,
or a past. It's the things that come after that, and unfortunately, they're not easy to build, and it's that culture. It's that culture of safeguarding. So if you see, for example, a child shouldn't be alone with an adult, and if you see that, it's not seen as someone being disciplined or a difficult conversation. It needs to be seen as a reminder that that's the best way to keep everyone safe, the adult, the child, and so on. It's relentless, and unfortunately, it's living in a world where you have to think, because of these individuals, worst case scenario all of the time. And it makes you a skeptic. It makes you think of things in the most horrible way.
Sorry, in what way? When you say it makes you think of people with evil intent, even when they might be doing a decent thing. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's more of what it could be.
So you see the worst in everybody, in a sense.
Not essentially, but you have to think worst case scenario. What could happen in that situation? So then you have to put your safeguards in place to remind them to say, look, just be aware that's not something we do. And then if this person's seen with a child on their own three or four times, it's a pattern. And then there's obviously routes and processes to go down there.
You're working with children every day. This bloke was at this nursery for 7 years. Are you, like me, a little surprised that one of his colleagues somewhere along the line didn't think something a bit inappropriate was going on?
I'm not surprised, like, because it could be that something happened. But as I said, if people just go, oh, that was a bit peculiar. Oh, such and such was with it. Oh, we must remind them, make sure that they know not to be on their own,
yeah,
as opposed to it being seen as the severity that it needs to. That it's not about catching people out. It's not about holding people to account. It's that consistent reminder of what's most important.
Lastly, you say you're in special education needs and disabilities. In about 10 minutes' time, I'm going to speak with the Minister for Children. He'll be talking about Best Start Family Hubs, acting as a one-stop shop for parents with SEN professional and services like toddler groups, supporting speech and language development. 1,000 hubs being rolled out across the country. If you were able to put a question to that minister, as you work in this field, what would you ask?
I think my thing would be that it sounds like a wonderful idea in theory. What is going to be the monitoring in place to ensure that this is something that's actually happening and it's not just a headline? We see so much of this at SEN, like the EHCPs, that the educational healthcare plans,
yeah,
are rigorous in terms of their timings and stuff like that when they have to be turned around, but it's not monitored properly. There isn't that happens.
Mm.
Children are without these, they're years old and so on. What is going to be put in place to ensure that these aren't just a headline-grabbing statement, and this is something that's actually going to be shown to impact on the lives of these people that are struggling?
Stay tuned, I'll put the question to him in about 10 minutes time. Tom, thank you for that, and thanks for the work you do. More calls on that in a moment, but let's come back to our conversation about pubs and that LBC story that I've told you about, which is that one in three British pubs, only one in three, are turning a profit. Surveyed more than 200 pubs for this. The survey and polling was done by the British Institute of Innkeeping. And let's bring Emma McClarkin, who's Chief Executive of the British Beer and Pub Association, into the conversation. Why are times so tough for your colleagues? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. It is a really difficult time. One in three, only profitable. The cost of doing business for our sector is immense. It just keeps going up and up. We are recognised as the most impacted, not only by this budget, but the last budget, by senior economists and even the Bank of England. And so, you know, everything from business rates, beer duty, wages, it all hits the Great British Pub.
What can you give us an idea how big the pub estate is now and what it was, say, 4 or 5 years ago, Emma?
So I think that we know that we've lost, 15,000 pubs in the last 20 years. This year alone, we've lost a pub every single day. Every single day, one has closed their doors. And before this budget, when we were going in lobbying the government, we made them aware that without the backing that we'd asked for on reform of business rates, on beer duty, to help us rebalance and get fairness into our cost of doing business, that we could lose 2,000 pubs in 2026 alone. And unfortunately, post this budget, we seem to be in a worse position than we were going in.
So they weren't listening to your lobbying, or they just totally ignored you? What do you sense it is, Emma?
We know that the valuations of the properties have gone up. It's been like a double whammy, and 4,000 pubs will now be brought into paying rates for the very first time. So far from actually reducing the rates bills, that we'll see even more pubs being brought into paying rates going forwards. It's not been the great reset we wanted. There was supposed to be a multiplier to help get fairness back into the system for our pubs. But sadly, that was only 5p in the pound, not the 20p that we'd asked for. So they had all the information, all the data. I think they've recognised they've got it wrong. Now they need to take action to correct that, to make sure that what the public heard on the floor of that house was that the support for Great British Pub was on its way. And we need the government to actually deliver that now.
Grateful for your time. Thank you. Emma McClarkin is Chief Executive of the British Beer and Pub Association, 744. We talked about this increase in charges at Heathrow. It's going up to, I think it was £7. £80 fine if you take too long. And I said, what if you're disabled? Henry in Norfolk points out the Heathrow new parking rules do not apply to disabled people, but the point I would make is that if I'd taken my mum to the airport, I don't have a blue badge on the car, so they don't know that I'm getting my mum out and getting her in a wheelchair and wheeling her to someone who's then going to look after her and take her into the terminal, whatever it might be, or meet a friend or whatever. That's the point I'm making, Henry. So I do think ordinary, decent folk who are trying to help people with needs, disabilities, whatever it might be, I think people are going to get caught. All right, a £5 fine or a tenner, all right, you'll live with that. Or £1 a minute would seem actually a more equitable way of doing it. An 80 quid fine, and you're 1 minute over because you're helping Dad to get into a plane. I think it's outrageous. Coming up after the news, as I said to Tom the teacher, we're going to be speaking about provision for SEND, and more broadly, speaking earlier this year, the Health Secretary spoke of the overdiagnosis of ADHD.
There's an overdiagnosis, but also there are too many people being written off. There's too many people who just aren't getting the support they need.
So as he, Mr. Streeting, orders a review, what are the aspects that you think he needs to take into account? We'll take your views on that later. 7:46, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The government's promised to expand the use of facial recognition by police forces. The UK and Norway are to sign a defence pact to help hunt down Russian submarines in the North Atlantic. And never-before-seen images of Jeffrey Epstein's infamous private island have been published in the US. LBC weather, rain moving northeastwards, brighter later, a high of 9 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the M23 southbound. Just after the M25 junction, there's been another accident. There's a load of debris across the road. So traffic is currently being held. So if you're heading this way to Gatwick Airport, do allow yourself extra time. Also very busy on the M25, anti-clockwise to the Dartford Tunnel after a lorry broke down earlier. And the northern stretch of the M25 remains very slow anti-clockwise from junction 26 at Waltham Abbey to 24 at Porter's Bar. And that was after an accident that happened earlier. In Woolwich, the Plumstead Road stays closed eastbound after an accident, and very busy on the South Circular Road both ways in Catford because of an ongoing investigation, and the road is partially blocked.
LBC.
Hello, I'm a National Lottery scratch card. You normally see me in the shops, but you know where I'd really like to be? Round yours at Christmas. I'm a great Christmas guest. You can use me as a festive place setting for a bit of fun. And you might even win a few quid. At the very least, I'll distract Uncle Dave from saying something inappropriate.
Oh. Buy a National Lottery scratch card and add some play to Christmas. Gift responsibly. Rules and procedures apply. Players and gifters must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
This could be the best Christmas ever. Christmas Cash Call is here with a life-changing £250,000 to be won. Enter this week's draw before 5pm tomorrow and you could get a call with £250,000. Christmas Cash Call. Text radio to 822-00 to enter now. Text costs £2.50 plus your standard network charge. 18 plus UK only, global network competition. Full rules and free entry at ChristmasCashCall.com.
They did it again. Flour instead of flowers. On my birthday. I'm 95 minutes late. But it's hard to leave when you've shared so much. Your postcode, your gluten intolerance. Then I saw it. 25% off your first Ocado shop. Plus, free delivery. And I just knew I'd found the online supermarket of my dreams. Ocado. Life delivered. Geographical restrictions. Min spend £60. Max saving £20. Charges and Christmas restrictions apply. New customers only. Terms at Ocado.com.
For people living with dementia, Christmas can be confusing, overwhelming, heartbreaking. Families are often left to cope alone. But you can help a family reimagine Christmas. Donate to Alzheimer's Society and you can help provide practical support, expert advice and crucial companionship this Christmas. It will take a society to beat dementia, and we can't do it without you. Search Alzheimer's Society and donate today.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 991234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 10 minutes before 8. Now, as I've said on many occasions, having the privilege of doing this show and speaking with so many of you over so many years, one subject that has rocketed up the league table of where you get involved is what's called SEND, or Special Educational Needs and Disabilities, with, I sense, more of you discovering that your children have those needs and sometimes finding that there isn't the provision. Well, the government is determined to try and tackle that with the idea of some family hubs. And here with more details is Labour MP and Minister for Children and Families, Josh McAllister. Thanks for coming along to this morning to us to talk with us. Minister, what is it you and your colleagues are announcing? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. We are announcing that with the expansion of Best Start Family Hubs, which are built on the idea that we had in the last Labour government to create Sure Start centres and the difference that they can make, that in the ramp up to get to 1,000 Best Start Family Hubs by 2028, we're also going to put SEND specialists, so special educational needs and disability specialists, into every single one of those 1,000 family hubs, so that parents of children before school and also outside of school can get extra support in peer groups with parents who can come together and help them, but also then evidence-based interventions for things like speech and language therapy, so that if parents have got a question or a concern, they don't need to wait for a diagnosis, they don't need to form an orderly queue that takes many months. They can actually just go into one of these family hubs and get that support much earlier on.
You talk of getting to 1,000 hubs by 2028, Minister. Where are we currently?
We're currently at 600 family hubs and we're putting £500 million extra in to get an extra 400, and we're going to prioritise areas of the country where the need is greatest in where those go.
What is your goal? That is to say, by the time that all 1,000 are online in 2028, a parent or parents take their child to this special hub, how long before he, she gets the sort of care, the EHCP, whatever it might be, that is deemed necessary to that individual child? What would be the dream ticket there, Minister?
Yeah, so we will be able to answer that question more fully when the special educational needs schools white paper comes out in the new year, and that will set out the whole system that sits around this. But specifically on family hubs, the vision is to build back what we had with Sure Start, right, which is that parents, where there's an issue that might not just be about special educational needs, it might be a concern you've got about family relationships, help you want with parenting, feeding of babies, all those things, you've got that one-stop shop that you can go to, get low stigma, practical help, something that doesn't feel like you're being referred to a service. And by doing that and putting more services at that end of things, we know that it reduced costs and it improves outcomes for children as well.
And geographically, Minister, is the idea that every, I don't know, every London borough, every town, every city council or county council would have one? How would the allocate? How do you hope the allocation would be?
Every local authority will get a family hub,
right,
and we'll make sure that within those local authorities, the Best Start family hubs go to the areas of greatest need. In my own part of the world, we've got one in both Whitehaven and Workington. They're sort of mid-sized towns.
Yep.
And the council have also, much to their credit, created a bus where they're putting some of these services on a bus. I represent West Cumbria. It's got a lot of rural places in it. So that's a sort of creative way of sorting out some of these issues as well.
OK. Now, in a related story, your colleague Health Secretary Wes Streeting is launching a review looking into whether everyday stress is behind an increase in diagnoses of mental health conditions, ADHD and autism. Do you think that might be, I appreciate your Minister for Children and Families, do you think that might be playing out with some of our younger folk?
These issues are really connected, so it's good news that Peter Fonagy, who's a clinician, has been asked to look at the prevalence of these conditions and the diagnostic question. He is going to look at this scientifically, follow the evidence and set that out for the whole public, because there is a debate going on about this, and I recognise that. It links not just to special educational needs, but it's also about young people, particularly under the age of 25. I've got 500 young people under the age of 25 in my own constituency who are out of work. Many of them have got mental health conditions and issues. And what is the best form of support to make sure that those young people get into work, have that social interaction, feel more confident in themselves, and actually overcome some of the obstacles that they're facing?
I mean, this must be something you and your colleagues tackle on a daily basis, that there does seem to be a far greater number of children with what I'm going to call SEND, special education needs, far more than when, certainly when I was at school, and you're a younger man than I, possibly you. Are we just getting better at diagnosing it? Is it a broader spectrum? Are we recognising conditions that didn't exist before? What do you think it is, Minister?
Well, they're
or a
great
bit
questions.
Of all of the above?
Well, it could be a bit of all of the above. So that they are all the right questions that Peter Fonagy needs to help us answer with this work, and it will be published within a couple of months. You know, the fact at the moment is that we see, between different mental health trusts around England, diagnostic rates, positive diagnostic rates for a referral vary from 100% for some conditions to 18% in other trusts. Now, I think there are questions to ask there about why is that variation so great? Is it the clinical decisions that are being made? Is it about the referral pathways and who is being put forward for a diagnosis? Is it the diagnostic tools? Those are all really legitimate questions. And what I think your listeners probably don't appreciate is just politicians giving their kind of like tuppence on it. What we do want is scientists and clinicians to establish the facts.
You might have heard in my introduction, the level of interest among my listeners in this field grows almost, it would seem, week by week. And I took a phone call from Tom, who is a special needs teacher in Hertfordshire in Welwyn Garden City. And his concern, and he's working with it day in, day out, as you indeed are you, how will you monitor that this actually happens, that your good intentions, will actually play out on the ground, was the teacher's question. Minister.
Yeah, so we are looking really carefully, local authority by local authority, at the global development goals for young children. So that's the measure that we look at for kind of school readiness. You know, are toddlers and little people getting to school ready to learn and having made the expected amount of development? The government's plan for change has got that as a core measure. So we're progressing with that at the moment. That's how we'll monitor this, and we're going to make sure that as the funding gets into local authorities, that these specialists are in those settings. I think Tom's question, I haven't listened to it, Nick, no, but I imagine Tom's question is probably about how do we monitor and make sure the whole SEND system gets fixed.
Yes,
we will set that out when we put the white paper out very soon.
Perhaps we can talk again then. Finally, as Families Minister, in a related conversation, many families will feel the pain of their increased household energy bill. Additional £108, it was announced this morning. Your government did promise to cut bills. Is this another Labour broken promise?
Well, with the energy market, what happens from week to week, and you know this because you cover it really closely on LBC, is various things in the energy market and also in the policy world change energy bills up and down. What we have done in the budget last week, and we've made sure we've got the funding to do this, is take £150 of costs off energy bills. We need to invest in the grid and the transmission system over the next few years. And we need billions of pounds to go into that, because at the moment we've got this crazy situation where we're paying what are called constraint costs. those are costs that we incur because we're overproducing wind or overproducing solar in parts of the country. So we need to get the transmission network working. That will take costs off bill payers. And, you know, we made the commitment at the election and we stand by it that we're going to bring energy bills down by £300 by 2030.
Great for your time. Good luck with this. If I don't see you before, have a happy Christmas. Thanks for appearing on the show regularly this year. Josh McAllister is Minister for Children and Families. 7.58, 2 minutes before 8, 7.58. Let's talk a bit. It's a related conversation. It's taking care of our most vulnerable. It's safeguarding those who need it most after that horrific nursery story. Ben's in Guildford. Ben, thanks for hanging on the line. What do you want to tell me, sir? Good morning.
Hello there. Sorry, third time and I am on a back road, so if it dips out, I am sorry about
that. Okay, sir, go ahead and make your point.
The main thing that I don't understand from this is the fact that, if I've read this wrong, please correct me, but they seized his iPads and his iPhones.
Yes, the police
now,
did seize them.
Now, I work at a nursery in that. I'm a nursery worker. I work with young children. Every day, I am kind of like not searched as such, but I made sure that I do not have my phone. I do not have a smartwatch on. I'm not allowed to have any of those in the building.
Oh.
So how he has managed to get those into the building, into his room especially, perplexes me. That shows an overall management letdown.
He was allowed to dress and wash the children alone, solely. Would that happen in the nursery that you work at?
Well, yes, you are allowed to if you've gone through those DPS checks. It's the same with all women and all men and all that. We all go through those kind of checks. You are allowed to undress them and that on their own. We're on ratios and that, and there is a limit of amount that you can necessarily have people around.
Finally, and I've got to get to the news, so briefly, if you would, 7 years this man worked there. Clearly no one spotted anything. Any level of surprise on that from you, Ben, as you work
in this
field?
Huge level of surprise. I can't see how anyone could miss any particular parts of that. There's major letdowns, I would say, in the safeguarding part of that.
Glad we got you to a better part of Surrey and we got your call over. Ben, good luck at your work today. Thank you. Coming up after the news, carry on the conversation I was having with the Minister. A review to study the increasing diagnosis of ADHD. What lies behind that? Get ready for the police plan to face a facial ID camera in every town in the land. And the WI are in a bit of a jam. They announce that they will no longer accept trans women as members. Those stories and more follow the 8 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, the Home Office is planning to expand the use of facial recognition by police, including the use of the passport database. A public consultation is starting on how the controversial technology should be used and regulated. Ministers say it's the biggest breakthrough for catching criminals since DNA matching. But Matthew Feeney from the campaign group Big Brother Watch says surveillance is out of control.
There are other liberal democracies in the world that have this technology that have very strict restrictions on it. In the EU, for example, it has to be used only in instances of serious crimes and pursuant to warrant. And what we've seen in the UK is live facial recognition, which turns everyone into walking barcodes. It's very disturbing.
Officials from the US and Ukraine are to hold fresh talks in Miami on ending the war in Ukraine. President Trump's special envoy will meet Kiev's national security advisor after Moscow rejected the latest peace proposal. The UK and Germany have promised to bolster Europe against the threat of Russian aggression. The King hosted a banquet for President Steinmeier at Windsor Castle last night.
The search for a way of living that is at once prosperous, humane and sustainable. Britain and Germany stand shoulder to shoulder, guided not only by technology and science, but by conscience.
Britain and Norway are to sign a defence pact to counter Russian submarine activity. The deal is aimed at protecting critical undersea cables in the North Atlantic. Previously, unseen images of Jeffrey Epstein's infamous private island in the Caribbean have been released by US lawmakers. The photographs show several bedrooms, a clinic room with a dentist's chair, and a landline phone with a speed dial list and redacted names. You can see the images on the LBC app. A company that runs 18 adult websites has been fined £1 million for failing to have robust age checks. The Ofcom investigation into AVS Group follows new rules introduced under the Online Safety Act in July. The energy regulator Ofgem's approved a £28 billion investment in the UK's power network. The plan will add up to £108 to energy bills by 2031, but the watchdog says it will help to lower the costs of wholesale gas and electricity. In the city, the FTSE 100 is just reopening at 96.92. The pound buys $1.33 and a euro 14. LBC weather, rain moving northeastwards across the UK, brighter with showers in southern England, Wales and Northern Ireland, a high of 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 4 minutes after 8, Thursday, December the 4th. As it is announced, there will be a review to study the rise, the exponential rise in diagnoses of ADHD. What do you want the review to look at? Have you discovered that you, someone you love, someone you know, one of your children has one of these conditions? What does this government review, and they do love a review, but what does this government review, what are the areas it needs to go in? In other areas, the areas where the police are going. Every town in the land will have one of these new facial recognition cameras. Should we be concerned? Jasmine Chagas from the civil liberties group Big Brother Watch.
This is an indiscriminate surveillance tool. It really alters some fundamental principles that we have not to be subjected to identity checks where we're not suspected of any wrongdoing.
In other news,
the government's being accused of hypocrisy as we reveal the huge air miles racked up by Ed Miliband's climate envoy in the space of just a year. I'm LBC's Henry Riley with the exclusive.
Plus, apparently it's approaching its watershed moment. Seems to have brought the team to life, at least. Euphoria by Loreen, Sweden's winning entry in 2012. Only the second person and first woman to win the Eurovision twice. But now there is apparently a fight for its very soul. But over what? I'll tell you later in the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
If you were listening about 15 minutes or so ago, you will have heard as I ushered the Children's Minister to the microphone and we discussed this provision of better send requirements, how this is something that, and I say again, there's no point having the incredible privilege and pleasure of doing this job and the ability to speak with so many of you, and more importantly, of course, to hear what you tell me, as this is a two-way conversation, this one. If someone says to me, and in fact I'm asked this quite regularly, what are people talking about? Well, obviously they're talking about the economy, they're talking about education, they're talking about whatever else it might be, but they're talking about SEND, special educational needs and disabilities, in a way that, honestly, I think when I started this, however many decades ago it was, I think maybe one light would have lazily flickered on as someone wanted to call in. Now it is complete turnaround because you are concerned. These are in some instances, your children, in some instances, you yourself. And some of the most telling calls are from people who will phone and say, I'm now in my 30s. I remember taking one, I'm in my 50s and I've just been diagnosed with autism. And now I realise why I had such trouble at school and I was told I was a naughty boy. I wasn't a naughty boy, I just learnt in a different fashion. And there is an extraordinary amount of diagnoses given. So why? Well, as I said, West Streeting, ordering this independent review. Now, normally I'm rather cynical of these. The old policing maxim, if in doubt, form a squad. This government has more reviews than VAR. I accept all of that. But in this one, if they get it right, Well, it could be a game changer, isn't it? Now, he's coming at it as an attempt to cut welfare spending, but it is far broader than that as well. He wants to look at why there's such a sharp rise in diagnoses of, as I say, autism, ADHD, mental illness. And some 4.4 million working-age people, I know that takes us away from SEND, but they are related, some 4.4 million working-age people claim some kind of disability or incapacity benefit. And that's gone up from 1.2 in 2019 to 4.4 now. Question, there is a question, is provision too easy? There's a question mark there I'm asking. Are people getting money for conditions they don't need? A question, by the way. Are people gaming the system? There's a question mark there. I hope you also. Well, I need to hear from you. Now, in the first hour, as I say, they are tied together. We had the Minister of Children and Families, Josh McAllister. He was talking about SEND provision and increasing it to 1,000 hubs across the country. We might come back to that in a way. But I asked, did he agree with his Cabinet colleague, Wes Streeting, that there was an overdiagnosis of mental health conditions, meaning too many young people are being written off?
These issues are really connected, so it's good news that Peter Fonagy, who's a clinician, has been asked to look at the prevalence of these conditions and the diagnostic question. He is going to look at this scientifically, follow the evidence and set that out for the whole public, because there is a debate going on about this, and I recognise that. It links not just to special educational needs, but it's also about young people, particularly under the age of 25. I've got 500 young people under the age of 25 in my own constituency who are out of work. Many of them have got mental health conditions and issues. And what is the best form of support to make sure that those young people get into work, have that social interaction, feel more confident in themselves, and actually overcome some of the obstacles that they're facing?
I mean, this must be something you and your colleagues tackle on a daily basis. There does seem to be a far greater number of children with what I'm going to call SEND, special education needs, far more than when, certainly when I was at school, and you're a younger man than I, possibly you. Are we just getting better at diagnosing it? Is it a broader spectrum? Are we recognising conditions that didn't exist before? What do you think it is, Minister?
Well, they're
great
questions.
Or a bit of all of the above?
Well, it could be a bit of all of the above. So that they are all the right questions that Peter Fonagy needs to help us answer with this work, and it will be published within a couple of months. You know, the fact at the moment is that we see between different mental health trusts around England, diagnostic rates, positive diagnostic rates for a referral vary from 100% for some conditions to 18% in other trusts. Now, I think there are questions to ask there about why is that variation so great? Is it the clinical decisions that are being made? Is it about the referral pathways and who is being put forward for a diagnosis? Is it the diagnostic tools? Those are all really legitimate questions. And what I think your listeners probably don't appreciate is just politicians giving their kind of like tuppence on it. What we do want is scientists and clinicians to establish the facts.
Let's go to Dr. Simon Williams, who's a lecturer in psychology and public health at Swansea University. Well, with your public health hat on, Doctor, where do you think this review needs to go? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. Thanks so much for having me. Yes, it's a really important question. I mean, I do think you're right. Sometimes we can kind of over-review. I think this is an important one. I think my kind of public health hat really is telling me that we've come a long way. We have come a long way as a society to be able to identify and recognize. I do think that part of the increases, I mean, we see increases over the last 10 years in all mental health problems, really, in terms of diagnoses. Certainly some conditions when we look at young adults, kind of common and severe mental health has grown in some cases. Conditions have doubled since, say, 2014. So we know that kind of there's been an increase. A lot of that is due to the fact that GPs, people that work in occupational health, society as a whole has become better at diagnosing them. There is a danger, I think, actually, when we focus exclusively and too much on being out of work and kind of being signed off work. I think work we know in psychology and public health is actually good for mental health in many cases. I mean, it provides people a sense of well-being, a sense of purpose, the support you get. So I am a little kind of concerned about that being the a first or an early port of call, really. So I think what we need to do, what the review should do, is really look at what is it that is creating a society where we have so much mental health. And I think the earlier we can catch these things, oftentimes adolescent, even childhood mental, or should I say emotional problems and unrest can turn, if untreated, if unrecognized, into adult mental health problems, which are stickier. So I think looking at some of the social conditions, the inequalities, the fact
that
more people are on...
Haven't they always been there, Doctor? Haven't there always been inequalities, hadn't there? Indeed, one could argue there was greater poverty perhaps in the 50s and 60s than there is now.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, you're right, you're right. I think in some ways, and, you know, this is, to mention what you said earlier, you know, there's been reviews on this, really, have inequalities widened in the UK. I mean, I think part of the problem is we're just coming off the tail end of a pandemic. We are coming still in, really, a cost of living crisis. So you're absolutely right. I mean, there are cycles over history where we've had economic shocks and problems and lots of people out of work, but we are still in a kind of a, I think, and we look, particularly the last 5 years, there's been a lot of mental health problems that have kind of really spiraled since the pandemic. So I think, look,
I will leave it there. Dr. Simon Williams, thank you. You're a lecturer in psychology and public health at Swansea University, 13 after 8. Listening, Leanne Maskell, who's author of ADHD and A to Z, and is an ADHD coach and director of ADHD Works. Same question to you, if I may. Where do you think this review needs to go? Morning.
Good morning. Well, in 2022, I actually wrote to and campaigned to the directors of the World Health Organization about this, because when I was diagnosed with ADHD 8 years ago now, I couldn't find any information about it whatsoever on the internet in relation to a young woman that had a law degree. I didn't think it was real or something that applied to me. But when I understood more about it, and when my GP told me that to get an increase in my medication, I would need to wait for 7 years because that was what the waiting list was for a diagnosis, I couldn't believe it and ended up writing the book that you just mentioned just to help other people on that list, because I would be dead if I had to wait that long.
When you say you would be dead, do you mean you would be dead, or you just feel you would be exhausted?
Sure. No, I would be dead, because that's...
Why would you no longer be with us?
Well, I went to a psychiatrist myself when I was 25, eventually, after basically almost taking my own life. No, it's good. Because the point is, I didn't think I had ADHD. I went to the psychiatrist and was like, help me, I can't control my life. And he said, you've got ADHD. And I said, that's not real, I've got a real problem. And he said, no, you've got really bad ADHD. But the fact is that the medication helped me to get a job, stay in that job, and now run this company. But the point is here that at that point, there was no support available. And now I am inundated with people that need help, and including... I've actually trained 600 coaches around the world in the last few years, because every single day I get people that their children are attempting suicide, and their parents, that is having a huge impact on the workforce, I would say even more so than people that are struggling, but the parents of children.
Can you, or can one, I should say, can someone learn to love ADHD?
Yeah, but I think the ADHD, neurodiversity, it's just natural. But
are there positive? Any positive impact on your life?
I think that neurodiversity, like for me, it's just part of who I am. But before, I didn't understand why things were so difficult. And I watched 2 60-year-old men recently have a conversation about this, where they said 20 years ago, if they had been diagnosed as autistic, they would have been put into hospital. But now it's a completely different environment that they're in, and so there's so much shame involved in this, and 97% of autistic people over the age of 60 are undiagnosed. So the culture has changed in which we're in, but there's no support from the government for them.
Leanne, I have enjoyed our conversation. Good to hear from you again. Leanne Maskell, thank you. You wrote ADHD and A to Z. You are an ADHD coach and director of ADHD Works. Living with ADHD, possibly a positive impact. And this review, and the extraordinary amount now of diagnosis. You hear, don't you, if you have a circle of friends, almost on a daily basis, what is it that the government needs to get to on that? Plus, coming up after news, it's up and away.
The government's being accused of hypocrisy as we reveal the huge air miles racked up by Ed Miliband's climate envoy in the space of just a year. I'm LBC's Henry Riley with the exclusive.
More on that after this, 8:16 LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The use of facial recognition by police forces will be expanded under Home Office plans. The energy regulator Ofgem's approved a £28 billion investment in the UK's power network. And the latest round of peace talks will be held between US and Ukrainian negotiators in Miami later. LBC weather, rain moving northeastwards, then brighter with some showers for many, a high of 9 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the M23 southbound between the M25 and Junction 9 at Gatwick Airport. There's been an accident and one lane is closed. Very busy on the M26 eastbound at Junction 3 at the M20. There was an accident. Everything's open now, but it's still very slow. Delays continue in Woolwich. The Plumstead Road remains closed eastbound. And in Dagenham, Porter's Avenues had to be closed northbound because a bus has broken down at Gale Street. And that's causing queues. Also delays on the A13 westbound to Barking. A car has broken down and the South Circular Road remains very busy in both directions at Catford after an investigation from earlier, but all the lanes are now back open. And on the train, still no southeastern services southbound from Lewisham to Hayes.
This is LBC.
At Tesco Mobile this Christmas, we've got deals that sparkle. Like the iPhone 16 with 12 gigs of data, 3 months of Apple Music, plus an iPad for just £37.99 a month with club card prices, saving you £234. Now that makes gifting simple this Christmas. It pays to be connected. Search Tesco Mobile. Every little helps. Ends 28th of December. Club card and 36-month credit agreement required. Savings calculated on contract duration. Terms at tescomobile.com/terms. Apple terms at apple.com/uk/promo.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345-6060-973. This is LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from real Octopus Energy calls.
Octopus are an absolute breath of fresh air.
The customer service is really good.
People like yourself and all of your colleagues have done such a wonderful job.
Your customer service was tip-top. You know, I couldn't fault it.
You've stepped it up, I think, for an energy company, so well done.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running.
At TfL, we're making tube journeys faster in the future with signalling improvements underway on the Circle, District, Hammersmith and City and Metropolitan lines. And there's also the Elizabeth line already giving you fast journeys across central London. That is how we're making the greener way to travel brighter for everyone. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Elizabeth Line is fast compared to other TfL modes. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
At Morrison's Market Street, our fishmongers have worked hard to prepare quite the catch this Christmas. A fresh whole salmon for just £7.95 per kilo. That's better than half price. Morrison's, making more of Christmas. Majority of stores subject to availability excludes Morrison's Daily and online. Was £16 per kilo.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 8:20. Dave, coming to you as the first caller. Let's just do a couple from the social media and texts that are coming in. Samantha, my 13-year-old son has a diagnosis of developmental verbal dyspraxia, developmental language disorder, developmental fine motor skills, and dyslexia. I had to fight tooth and nail for an EHCP, Osho Healthcare Plan, in Wiltshire. I had to pay for a private educational psychologist report to get him into the independent specialist private school for dyslexic children and associated learning disabilities. My goodness, you have had a fight there. Thank you for that, Sam. Tom says, my daughter is a new teacher straight from university, is in her last year in school before she reaches qualified teacher status. She had 5 SEND children in her class of 30, has no assistance due to a lack of qualified assistance. She's a great teacher who gives all her love and class loves her class. There doesn't seem to be any form of training to assist her in dealing with these issues. Dave in Chiswick. What are you going to tell me about this, Dave? Good morning.
How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, all right, sir. Go ahead. What are you going to tell me?
Good. So, I mean, I was diagnosed with ADHD, borderline schizophrenia, and a mild form of autism when I was 4 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
I think a couple of those diagnoses was a misdiagnosis at the time, but I was on medication from the age of 4 all the way up until I was 15. Set myself off of medication so I could join the military. That didn't actually end up panning out. But
sorry, did you mean you didn't get into the army, or you did?
No, it never ended up panning out. Right. But because of that, I was on the list to go into a special education school. At that time, I refused to. All my friends and everything else were going to mainstream, and I decided to go into mainstream myself, although the education side would have been a lot better for myself.
Right.
At the moment, with everything that's going on, especially since COVID, a lot of people are able to self-diagnose with mental health issues without actually getting a diagnosis. There are a lot of self-diagnosis tools, especially to do with ADHD as well, that you can do online whilst you're waiting for a diagnosis. So a lot of people will identify as such. I think a lot of that gets taken away.
Are you able to
work? Yeah. I've had like an amazing career so far. And it keeps going up. I was always told that I never amount to anything either. But I've kind of proved everyone wrong.
Well done.
I can't really say.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. I won't ask.
It's fine.
well done. Do you still take medication?
No. So I spent a lot of time on Ritalin.
Yes.
Which kind of puts you into a zombie state. It was awful stuff. But between then, I was kind of used as a guinea pig as well whilst coming up, putting loads of different trial drugs, slow release, quick release, herbal, non-herbal.
Right.
So how
have you got yourself to where you are today if the diagnosis wasn't there as a young man?
To be fair, I've just kind of, where I spent a lot of my childhood being told that I'd never amount to anything, I've just kind of put focus into myself, really, and just kind of brought myself up, never really knowing what to do, but as soon as I kind of found my way, I just kind of went for it. It's one of the symptoms of ADHD with the hyper-focus side of stuff.
Right.
And I tend to focus on stuff that's not really relevant, but it is kind of relevant to what I do at the time. Obviously, it sounds a little bit weird without me being able to explain.
No, I respect the fact you don't have to tell me what you're in. What I'm pleased about is that you're able to get there and get out and get a job in whatever it is. Dave, have a good day. Thank you for your input. Only finishing to get more people involved. Andrea in Princes Risborough. Andrea, your view. Good morning.
Oh, hello, Nick. I haven't spoken to you for a long time, and as usual, I've always got the opposite
Here we go. Come on, Andrea. Everyone
else.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Don't worry.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say there are people who are really seriously ill, seriously mentally ill, and they need all the help they can get.
Right.
But on the other hand, we're making our children poorly. We are attempting to diagnose every little quirk of personality and label it. And it's the worst thing we can do.
But if a child... Yes. Andrea, if a child is having real issues at school, we've got to help them, Andrea.
Yes, if they're having real issues. But we tend now to be looking for them. We seem to be looking for issues and then putting a label on it. I don't think we're doing our children any good. Life is a big mixture. It's made up of lots of people with different personalities.
But Andrea, I hear what you say, but lastly, if we've got a child and they're sitting at the back of the class and they just don't understand and they look at the blackboard, if we still call them that, and it just doesn't make sense. It is just a jumble of shapes. We've got to do something to help that child, Andrea. No?
Well, as I said at the beginning, there are people who have got serious problems and they need all the help they can get. I've said that, but we seem to be adding on lots of little things that people have. You know, we all have problems day to day with various things.
Yes.
And it's like life is like a pack of cards. You've got to make the best of the hand you've been dealt.
All right, Andrea. I hear a lot of what you say. I'm afraid we're going to have to disagree agreeably on the aspect of children, because I think there are those that, just because life is tough, and life is tough, it doesn't mean we shouldn't help those when we can. Andrew, good to hear from you again. Look after yourself. Be well. 8:26, and let's come to other stories. The government stands accused of hypocrisy due to the number of air miles their climate envoy has racked up in a year. Some would say the appropriately named Rachel Kite, a climate professor whose previous expressed support for activist group Extinction Rebellion, was appointed by Ed Miliband in October of last year, and has attended numerous overseas visits on behalf of the government.
LBC's Henry Riney has the exclusive report. Henry, morning.
Morning, Nick. This with the backdrop as well, the air passenger duty is going up. It was announced in the budget. It's also due to go up above inflation from next year. And this, as we can reveal, that the climate czar, Rachel Kite, has totaled 150,000 air miles in a year with trips including COP30, the Africa Energy Indaba Week in South Africa, and the Clean Cooking Dialogue Summit in Riyadh at a cost of over £100,000 to the taxpayer. Now, her air miles, to be exact, are 157,314. That's from the 21st of, the 21st of October, 2024, 21st of October until 25th of October, so just over a year. Now, that sheer amount of air miles, Nick, equates to travelling the equatorial circumference of the Earth 6.5 times. So it's a huge sort of leg of journeys. Now, it was last October that Mr. Miliband and the then Foreign Secretary David Lammy appointed Rachel Kite as the UK Special Representative for Climate. The Energy Security Secretary, Mr. Miliband, frequently praises her. Indeed, this was just last week in the House of Commons.
It's incredibly important. Article 6 was agreed last year, on carbon markets, was agreed last year, I think, after a decade of effort. I want to pay tribute, by the way, to Rachel Kite, our climate envoy, who was very much part of it.
Now, Rachel Kite, a professor of climate policy, previously served in senior roles in the World Bank and the UN. She did court controversy, as you mentioned. She wore an Extinction Rebellion badge to COP24 in 2018 and previously expressed support for an activist who glued themselves to the pavement outside Shell's HQ in London. Now, our Freedom of Information request reveals the majority of flights have been business class, 28 business class legs, 21 economy class legs, and one in premium economy. The most expensive journey was in October of this year when Ms. Kite billed taxpayers £6,136 for a one-way trip from Boston to China to attend the Friends of the Paris Agreement and engage in what we're told is high-level dialogue. She also, in February of this year, took a business class return trip from London to Tanzania to attend Mission 300 Africa Energy. That cost £6,040. The Shadow Energy Secretary Claire Coutinho told me the government have set themselves up for a fall by moral lecturing.
This is yet more Labour hypocrisy. They've appointed a climate czar who has spent their time flying 6.5 times around the world, all whilst they're piling on taxes for flights for normal families who want to go on holiday with their kids. This is yet more moral lecturing of standards which they are not upholding themselves. The public are fed up of being told what to do and having all of these costs piled onto their lives, and their lives are getting harder because of this government.
Lastly, I'll tell you what the government say. They say the special representative was appointed to support ministers in driving action on the government's priorities on international climate action, and that international diplomacy has unlocked private finance to tackle the climate crisis. The government's also, Nick, did tell me this face-to-face engagement was crucial, and that Rachel Kite only flies when she must and takes other forms of transport where possible, and it's all in line with government policy.
Meanwhile, do we have another 108 quid added to our energy bills this morning? Wasn't that
£108, yeah.
So we're not doing particularly well by jet setting, aren't we?
Questions for Ed Miliband, I think.
I can't wait to have him back on the show. Henry Riley with that exclusive report coming up later in the show. The Eurovision Song Contest, a fight for its very soul. A battle over rigged voting, a battle over the participation of Israel. But oh, the enjoyment that we've had from The Sublime. To The Ridiculous. It was ABBA from 1974, and it was Lordi from 2006. That story coming up later in the show. It's 8:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, and LBC. Headlines then, Thomas Watts.
The use of facial recognition by police forces will be expanded under government plans. A public consultation is starting on how the controversial technology should be used and regulated. The energy watchdog has given the green light to £28 billion of investment to upgrade infrastructure. It'll push up bills by more than £100, but Ofgem says they would be even higher without the essential upgrades. The latest round of peace talks will be held between the US and Ukrainian negotiators in Miami later. It'll be their first since Vladimir Putin rejected the latest iteration of the US-led proposals. LBC weather, rain moving northeastwards across the UK, brighter with some showers in southern England, Wales and Northern Ireland. Later, a high of 9 degrees.
This is LBC. They live in you.
A spectacle far beyond your imagination.
They live in me.
Be amazed. Be moved.
They're watching over.
Be there.
Everything we see.
For an experience that will stay with you forever.
In every creature.
Disney's The Lion King.
In every star.
At London's Lyceum Theatre.
They live in you.
Book now at thelionking.co.uk.
A Southern train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields. Or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advance tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad!
Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use.
Interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
That's 8:33. Come back to our conversation about ADHD. Sam, you'll be the next caller on that, and I think you've got views of where this review, ordered by the Health Secretary, where it needs to go. But to other matters. And the WI is saying it has no choice but to ban trans women from joining. Here is Gerald Stone, chair of the Women's Institute, announcing the ban on social media yesterday.
It is with the utmost sadness that today we must announce we can no longer offer formal membership to transgender women from April 2026. We have proudly welcomed transgender women for more than 40 years, so this is not something we would do unless we felt we had no other choice. In April, the Supreme Court ruled that the legal definition of a woman under the Equality Act refers only to biological sex. So, to be able to continue operating as a legally recognised women's organisation and charity, we must accept the judgment. We know many of you will find this extremely painful. We do too. But this doesn't change our firm belief that transgender women are women.
Well, let's put those points to Steph Richards, who's CEO of Translucent, a transgender advocacy organisation, joining me now. Good to have you on board. Thanks for joining me. Your reaction to this, and of course there was the girl guiding in conversation, I think, earlier this week, as I recall. Morning, Steph.
Indeed. Morning, Nick. Thank you so much for having me on again. Well, to be honest, this is heartbreaking. It's an absolute tragedy that we are going to be seeing trans members of the WI, sometimes in their 80s, who have been members for over 40 years, basically being expelled from membership. And this is because of what we would argue is the ridiculous Supreme Court ruling that occurred in April. I can't emphasise, this is not about safety. This is about exclusion of a minority of people. The trans community are vulnerable. Ultimately, there's only 48,000 trans women in the UK, and we are constantly being attacked by trans hostile organisations and people who are, frankly, transphobic.
I hear you, Steph, but I don't think you can say the Supreme Court is transphobic. Well, you can say that. Are you suggesting the Supreme Court acted in a transphobic fashion?
No, the Supreme Court is a different matter. Unfortunately, when you look at the ruling that come down, and we've had now several months to look at it, they did not take on board the Human Rights Act side of this. They took on the Equality Act, but they did not look at the situation around gender recognition certificates, and they wholly ignored the Human Rights Act, which gives trans people the right to be themselves under Articles 8, Private Life. And unfortunately, where we're getting now is indeed Translucent are involved in three legal actions around where we've been excluded. We do not want to be in this situation. The government needs to man up and to rectify what was a really bad ruling before this rolls on to go to Strasbourg and creates more hassle.
Steph, you'll be closer to this than I. Isn't there a long-awaited review that the government seems to have been sitting on for, I was going to say weeks, probably months, that we're still waiting to hear? Yeah. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. The EHRC, the Equality and Human Rights Commission, came out with a code of practice, a draft code of practice, which unfortunately, after looking at the leaked document that's come out, is illegal. And we need the EHRC. Fortunately, it's come under new stewardship recently with Dr. Mary-Ann Stevenson, who I have every confidence will do a great job. And we need to look at this whole issue again. Translucent agree with single-sex spaces. Obviously, there are circumstances where trans women, and indeed trans men, perhaps shouldn't be. But unfortunately, being a girl guide or being a member of the Women Institute is not one of them.
Lastly, respond if you would. There's a lot of emails and texts coming in as you're talking, Steph. Here's one from someone called Remy. Transgender women are not women. They are transgender women. That's not the same thing. People need to realise that. How would you respond to sentiments such as those?
It's for individuals to see how they identify. We live in womenhood. I've had gender-affirming surgery. I have a gender recognition certificate. I've been an elected women's officer in a political party for 3 years.
Sorry, with the GRC, would you be able to join the Women's Institute? Sorry, just do you know...
No.
Even with the GRC, you can't get into the WI. A lot of initials.
Sadly not. No, I've been excluded from the Labour Party from holding female positions.
Right, I see.
Even though I've been elected in those positions by cisgender women. And can I just also add, Nick?
Yep.
There's an organisation out there called Not In Their Name, and they have so far gathered 65,000 signatures from cisgender women saying no to transphobia. And indeed, around the Girl Guides issue, already 12,500 people have turned around asking the Girl Guides Association to think again.
All right, I must leave it there. Steph Richards, good speaking with you. Thank you for your time. You CEO of Translucent, a transgender advocacy organisation. 839. Now, that might get for telephone calls, but this ADHD review certainly is. And I'm grateful to Sam in Wimbledon, who's been hanging on the line. Sam, this touches you personally, is that right? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Nice to speak to you again.
Hello, Sam. Yep.
On this chilly morning. It's something that is very, very, very personal to me. I'm 54 years old. Mm-hmm. About 5 years ago, I was diagnosed, 5 or 6 years ago, I was diagnosed ADHD after a 3-year waiting list on the NHS. I chose not to go down the private route. I felt the NHS was going to be the more, I guess, thorough, maybe, perhaps. No disrespect to the private sector, but perhaps I felt it was going to be a more thorough service. I think what was interesting to me, Nick, firstly, it was one of the greatest things that happened in my life. And I know others who are pre-diagnosis and still very confused and unsure of, you know, what's happening in their lives is the next thing when it's come up that they might be. It gave me something to put on a label on it. It explained a lot of things in my life, allowed me to understand and be more patient, I suppose, with how things have been in my life that have been more challenging, perhaps.
What are some of the things, if you feel able to share?
Just things that, you know, at school, maybe where I've struggled, you know, in the day to day, you know, from going from, you know, significant times of hyper focus where I can sit and work for 12 hours straight and not have a break and, you know, no rest. My girlfriend would say, "Have you eaten?" I'll say, "Oh God, I forgot. What time is it?" You know, I can go and complete into that versus not the engine not starting, you know, and, you know, the world not feeling, you know, it's bizarre. The world, you know, things not starting, getting it to sort of 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, just the engine won't start, you know, and feels like the severe frustration, you know, but going backwards, just things at school, you know, being kicked out of school, this next thing, you know. And I think it's really important that, you know, I don't think there's an overdiagnosis. I think there is an underservice of this, you know, in the system. And I think that having a label gives people an opportunity to allow people to kind of understand themselves more.
Let me ask you this lastly. As you've put your case so eloquently, where do you think this review needs to go?
I think Nick, that you know, for me, in my experience, I did a lot of things online. I went to the GP, thought I was, you know, this was the case from my perspective. I had literally a 5-minute conversation. I was put on a 3-year waiting list. And I think what I think is really important is, you know, in other areas of the NHS, you know, in physical health, we have a triage system where people go in and there's much more of a kind of a sort of a midway point. If we could bring in a triage system into an ADHD or mental health, then at least people would feel that they're moving along the system. I waited 3 years, as I say. The people who have been involved with couldn't have been, you know, more brilliant. You know?
That's good to hear. I wish you a good day, and I mean that, because I hear what you say. Some days the engine doesn't start, other days you forget to eat. So I hope today's a good day, Sam, and thank you for all your background. But I do have to move on to get other folk involved, 8:42. And to get involved on the subject of the Women's Institute, which, citing legal judgment, says that our... it is no longer open to trans women. Monica's in Richmond. Is that the right call? Good morning.
Yeah, absolutely. It shouldn't have come. It should have come much sooner than this. Just a couple of points I want to make. Firstly, this is entitled men who have manipulated themselves into women's spaces. No, it makes women feel uncomfortable.
We just heard from my contributor. In some instances, these are women in their 80s who've been going to the WI. They've been going to the WI for decades.
They're men in their 80s that wear women's clothes.
No. Let's choose our language carefully, Monica. In the case of the person with whom I'm speaking, she's got a GRC, a gender recognition certificate.
He's a man.
No. Steph is a... I'm sorry, and I don't want to fall out with you, but I always enjoy speaking with Steph. I'm sort of metaphorically putting an arm around her shoulders here. Steph is and has a GRC and is a woman, Monica.
Oh, come off it, Nick. He's not a woman.
Please don't keep saying he. I do think that's a little offensive because Steph is...
It's offensive to me that you're calling a man a woman. That's offensive to me.
I'm sorry to cut you, slow you down. Sorry. To say of someone, if they simply dress up as a woman, I'm prepared to have that conversation with you. But someone such as Steph, with whom I've spoken on this show, gosh, probably more times than I can remember. Well, at least a dozen times, I would suggest. So who, through the radio, I know quite well. Steph is a woman. She's got a GRC. She lives life
absolutely
as a woman.
Absolutely not. You've been manipulated. Unfortunately, like the hostage video, that WI woman putting that hostage video out, saying how upset she is
I honestly don't know what that is. So I'm just waving. Can someone... when did this come out, Monica? What's the hostage video?
That you played it on your show. The WI lead, I think her name's Jerry, saying...
Oh, sorry, the chairman, the chair of the WI.
Yes, that was like a hostage project because so many organisations, including yourself, have been manipulated by trans activists like Steph. He's not a nice, bubbly...
You're speaking ill of someone who's not here to defend themselves. Can I just broadly take his point? And this is possibly less controversial. There is a woman with a GRC, more than one woman, in their 80s, who've been going to the WI for decades. None of the members object. She likes talking about flower arranging and making jam, and I don't say that in a derogatory fashion because my late mother was president of the WI, so I've laid out more trestle tables to WI jumble sales than many have on this show. Probably anybody else has on LBC. And I actually have a very soft spot for the WI. Why can't that 80-year-old woman continue to go, Monica?
In an 80-year-old woman, an 80-year-old man has manipulated himself into an organisation. Lots of women are uncomfortable. Lots of women stopped going because they were uncomfortable with a women's organisation being taken over by manipulative men.
All right, I'm grateful to you. There's a lot of support. Kem, I agree 100% with Monica. A GRC, gender recognition certificate, doesn't mean anything. You need to stop it, Nick, says John. Dan, Monica is 100% correct and you're 100% wrong. Matthew, stop it, it doesn't suit you. Well, it might not suit me, but I just think, again, if you have a man who has not got a GRC and chooses to dress as a woman occasionally and wants to go to the WI, yeah, I've got a problem with that. But I'm thinking of this woman who's in her 80s, who's been going for decades. I think we probably will have more on that after this. Coming up in the next hour, controversy here as well. This is in the field of lawmaking and policing. Facial recognition cameras coming to every town, not a town near you, every town. Here's the Commissioner of the Met, Sir Mark Rowley, talking about the rollout.
If you walked past that camera, the camera will, like, for a millisecond, grab an image of your face, work out whether you're wanted, and when you're not, it deletes it straight away. So your face is in that data for a sort of a millisecond in the system, and then it's thrown away.
an assurance that you're ready to believe? We'll look at that in more detail. We've got to 8:46 LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The Home Office is planning to expand the use of facial recognition by police forces. The energy regulator Ofgem has approved a £28 billion investment in the UK's power network. And officials from the US and Ukraine are to hold fresh talks in Miami on ending the war with Russia. LBC weather, rain moving northeastwards across the country, brighter with showers in southern England, Wales and Northern Ireland, a high of 9 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Still long delays on the M23 southbound, heading down towards Junction 9 at Gatwick Airport. It's following an accident. There are queues back to the M25. Also delays on the M26 eastbound to Junction 3 at the M20. That was after an accident that happened earlier, but all the lanes are now back open. In Woolwich, the Plumstead Road stays closed eastbound, and in Dagenham, Porters Avenue is closed northbound because a bus has broken down. Severe delays on the A13 westbound, heading towards Dagenham, and that's because of a load of debris across the road. Also, the problems continue on the underground. There's no Waterloo and City Line running because of a track problem. And also on the underground, there are severe delays on the Metropolitan Line.
This is LBC.
Co-op members now get prices matched to Aldi. Hold on, no way. Okay then, so co-op members now get everyday essentials price matched to Aldi. Sign up and start saving. Co-op, owned by you, right by you. I wasn't expecting that.
Co-op member prices matched versus comparable selected products at Aldi GB. Co-op membership required. Co-op group food stores only. See co-op.co.uk/Aldi price match.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Kev, it's Black Friday madness. Customers, calls, emails.
Then you need something built for busy, like iPhone 17. And right now, you can save £144 on a 36-month plan in EE's Black Friday sale. iPhone 17, a delight at work, even when your coffee's gone cold.
Nice one, Kev. Have a fresh hot coffee on me.
Search EE Business today. BT and EE, better for business.
Excludes 20% VAT. Ends 4th December. Terms apply.
Train to Brighton with the besties. Immaculate vibes, as always. But I bet my ice skating is going to be pure chaos.
Oh, Em, you better hold my hand. Oh, I'm going up.
No, styled it out. I've got this.
Last one to the other side buys the hot chocolate.
Back on the train, only fell twice.
Low-key legend.
We have to do this every year.
Download the Southern Railway app to book tickets and save a third off group travel and off-peak journeys. Southern Railway, where every stop is a story.
They did it again. Flour instead of flowers on my birthday. I'm 95 minutes late, but it's hard to leave when you've shared so much. Your postcode, your gluten intolerance. Then I saw it. 25% off your first Ocado shop. Plus, free delivery. And I just knew I'd found the online supermarket of my dreams. Ocado. Life delivered. Geographical restrictions. Min spend £60. Max saving £20. Charges and Christmas restrictions apply. New customers only. Terms at Ocado.com.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 991234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's talk more about this Women's Institute row. Sarah's in Reigate. Sarah, what are you going to say? Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, hi there, Nick. Thank you for taking my call. I actually agree, and I don't mean to cause offense. Just give me a chance to explain myself. I agree with the caller you had previously.
Monica, yeah.
Yes. I will not be referred to as a cis woman. I am a woman.
Okay.
And I do not disrespect anybody. I feel like opportunities should be created for the trans community. But there is an erosion of women's rights. And I'm sorry, if you're born a male, you are a male. If you're born a female, you are a female. If you choose to change your gender, which is absolutely your right, I feel like everybody should be free to do what they want. You can't then impose on female spaces, on female sports. It is not right. We have to call it for what it is.
Sarah,
it is not right.
Okay, so just to explain, some people won't know what cis is, so I'm just reading this out of the paper. A cis person is someone whose gender identity matches the the sex they were assigned at birth. For example, a person assigned female at birth who identifies as a woman is cisgender, as is a person assigned at male at birth who identifies as a man. Just to explain. Now, Sarah, where I'm with you, absolutely. In fact, I was very strong about that female boxer in the last Olympics. That was wrong. They should not have been allowed to fight against that woman who was reduced to tears in, I think, about the first round. You cannot have women, men who are posing as women or acting as women in swimming races. I'm totally with you. I'm just talking about these women who are in their 80s, who were members of the WI, have gone for decades. It's not right that they're now expelled. Surely, Sarah.
I don't agree with that. That's something we can definitely see eye to eye. So, I feel like nobody should be excluded for anything other than who they are and what they do. So whether you're black or white or whoever you are, long as you're doing the work you're doing, you should not be discriminated against. I completely agree with you on that one.
Can I propose to you a solution? Because I'm aware of where you are, and you have every right to be where you are, and you want safe spaces, women-only spaces, and the Women's Institute represents that. So taking in mind, and this is what I'm talking about, these people who are in their 80s, if this Supreme Court ruling came in April, how is this as a solution, Sarah? As of now, the WI will not accept trans women. But if you've already joined the Institute, we respect that you've been coming. In some instances, you've been coming in for decades. So your membership will stay, but we cannot take new members who are trans. How about that as a solution?
I think that is a sensible compromise.
I'm so sorry. Part of the studio has just fallen. What the hell happened there? I don't know.
I think that is a sensible compromise. Absolutely, Nick.
We've got there, Sarah. Thank God for rationality. What are you going to be doing in Reigate today? It looks like I'm going to be rebuilding this desk. What are you going to be doing in Reigate?
I'm working from home. It's absolutely raining, so I'm staying in with my cat.
Oh, and the cat's name is?
The cat doesn't like the rain either. So.
No, but what's the cat's name, Sarah?
Tuxedo. He's a black and white cat. And it looks like he's got a tuxedo on.
Oh, so tuxedo. That's unfortunate. Yeah. I thought you said something else for a minute. It's all going wrong. We don't need that word on the radio as well as the desk falling apart. Tuxedo is what Sarah said. I've solved it. 7 minutes before nine. If you're in the WI, you stay in. But sadly, as a result of the legal ruling in April, you are not members of trans. You can't come as a trans woman. We might come back to that, but we're talking ADHD with Alan in Bexley. Alan, where does the review need to go? Good morning.
Good morning, sir, Nick. I have no idea. I have no idea, my friend. I'm 70 years of age.
Oh, yes.
I went through my life not understanding what's the problem with me. I'm just driving the kids to school this morning, and I heard all this conversation, and it obliged to me every single
when
one
When you say
of
you're
them.
Driving, are they your kids or your grandchildren? Or
No, my children are 16. I'm 70. My second marriage, I've got two children. I bought five of them up.
Fantastic.
I opened seven restaurants.
You own seven restaurants?
I open seven restaurants and I rent them all now. I've got two property company that have...
You don't own Ferraris in Bexley Village, do you?
I'm not going to say any more than that, but it tells you that I had no idea what was the problem with me.
Right. So when were you have ADHD, is it? Or
I have no idea. What does it mean? I only heard the conversation this morning from everyone, and every single one of them obliged to be.
I see what you're saying.
No, I went through education until the age of 16, sat in the class, pass, and I don't know what I put on paper. I had no idea. I didn't understand what is going on through education.
Did you get O-levels?
I was born abroad. I was born in Egypt. Up to 16 years of age, I left school at 16 because I couldn't cope with it anymore. And I have no idea the result I've got from the school. Where did I get that from? Because I'm having problem understanding a lot of things. So
you might have ADHD, but you don't know.
Everything that has been said this morning applies to me.
Right.
I have conversation with you. I would not remember what you've said 2 minutes ago. I have to search my brain for them. I have no idea. But all the issue that is being said this morning applies to me. Okay. I don't understand subjects. I don't understand stuff.
But no, hold on. You've run seven restaurants. You obviously understand certain subjects.
Well, I bought property, developed into a restaurant, and
respectfully, you've got a good grasp of business. You've got a probably better grasp of business than the Chancellor.
I've no idea. I honestly don't know what's going on, but I have suffered all my life, and I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand what's going on. EDH, I don't even understand what does it mean.
Okay, I think we're going round in circles here. I wish you safe driving with the children. I don't think either it is appropriate, I should even attempt to give an ADHD diagnosis over the phone. But if you're genuinely concerned, sir, obviously you need to see a professional. And I would imagine the starting point is your doctor, but don't knock yourself. Don't run yourself down. Dear God, you've developed 7 restaurants. That's a skill set. It's almost 3 minutes before 9. Just holding half of the desk up here. Let's talk to the Women's Institute. I was talking trestle tables. Have we got one handy? We can bring one in here. Carrie's in Bromley. You're on the radio, Carrie. Hello, Carrie. What are you going to tell me? Good morning.
I'm just absolutely astounded by the bigotry I'm hearing from women. I have no problem being called a cis woman.
Okay.
There's,
but you don't have a problem with another woman if she does, do you? If she has that, you know... C'est la vie.
It's the bigotry that goes with it. Okay. I mean, you want to call yourself a woman or a cis woman, it makes no difference to me.
Right.
It just feels like I've been teleported back to the 70s with some of the attitudes of people I'm hearing on this. I'm just astounded by it.
Have the WI done the right thing?
No, absolutely not. If somebody is a woman and they've got a certificate, trans or not, a trans woman who has a certificate should be allowed in all women's only spaces, as far as I'm concerned, because they've gone the whole way for the transition, they've got their certification. They're not any of these worrisome men who will dress as a woman and try to take advantage of laws and situations. It's a completely different kettle of fish, totally different, and they should just be accepted as a woman.
Do you, lastly, as a woman, do you ever have nervousness that these so-called safe spaces, i.e. if you were to go clothes shopping today and you wanted to try on, I don't know, a pair of jeans or a blouse or something like that, some women express concern that someone who is living their life as a woman could come in as you're trying on your blouse or something. Does that ever give you cause for concern, or is that unfounded in your view?
It gives me no cause for concern at all. It's, let these women live their lives. Let them, they've already had enough problems through their lives and difficulties being, you know, just getting through life in some stages, particularly through childhood.
Lastly, people born as men taking part in competitive sports such as swimming or boxing. I do have an issue there.
I have an issue with that as well.
So I think we're if they've gone through
puberty, then they should not be taking part in women's sports.
I think you and I are on the same page. I look forward to bumping you to one day in the Glades or whatever the shopping centre is, Bromley. I haven't been there for decades. Carrie, have yourself a safe day. The music means we have to move on, and the police are moving on and moving into every town. A police plan for those facial ID cameras for every town. How comfortable are you with that? Plus a fight for its very existence among rows over vote rigging. Raphael singing New Day Will Rise, which was Israel's entry into last year's competition. Indeed, from memory, I think, yes, thank you, it did finish second. But now some countries are saying, up with that, we will not put them. We're not coming to singing if Israel are taking part. There might even be a vote. Those stories and more follow the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, the Home Office is pressing ahead with controversial plans to expand police facial recognition. Ministers say the technology is the biggest breakthrough for catching criminals since DNA matching. But privacy group Big Brother Watch says it could turn the country into an open prison. LBC's Fraser Knight has more.
Where the technology is already being used, it's really working. In London, for example, more than 1,300 people have been arrested in 2 years, including wanted rapists. Ministers want to see that replicated elsewhere in the country, and they're paving the way to give chief constables more confidence in rolling out the cameras. But they are still highly controversial.
The energy regulator Ofgem has approved plans to spend £28 billion on network upgrades. Household bills will go up by £108 by 2031 as a result, but the watchdog says it will deliver long-term savings. The government says the plans are essential to avoid power costs spiralling. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, has ordered a review of the diagnosis of some mental health conditions. He's said to be concerned about the sharp rise in the number of people with conditions like ADHD and autism on sickness benefits. The figure has risen by 1%. 1.2 million since 2019. The Children's Minister, Josh McAllister's, told Nick that it's particularly important for younger people.
It links not just to special educational needs, but it's also about young people, particularly under the age of 25. I've got 500 young people under the age of 25 in my own constituency who are out of work. Many of them have got mental health conditions and issues. And what is the best form of support to make sure that those young people get into work, have that social interaction?
Footage and images of Jeffrey Epstein's private island have been released by US lawmakers. They show several bedrooms, a clinic room with a dentist chair, and a landline phone with a speed dial list and some names redacted. You can see the images on the LBC app. People in parts of Lancashire and the Lake District were woken up by an earthquake last night. Data suggests the 3.3 magnitude tremor occurred just off the coast of Silverdale. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was down 7 points, 96.84. The pound buys $1.33 and a euro 14. LBC weather. Rain moving northeastwards across the UK. Brighter with showers in southern England, Wales and Northern Ireland later. A high of 9 Celsius. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after nine, Thursday, the 4th of December. The rollout for a facial ID in every town. Cameras would be able to scour the entire passport photo database. But what of privacy fears? We'll look at that in more detail. We've already told you on a couple of occasions that the Eurovision Song Contest, there's a crucial meeting. Indeed, it's called a watershed meeting. In Geneva today, organisers and participating countries debate whether the vote rigging issue has been solved. We've always thought there was a bit of rigging. Unfair voting practices, and here's possibly the big one. Can Israel compete? Countries including Ireland, Spain, Slovenia and the Netherlands have said they will boycott Eurovision. No singing if Israel takes part. Germany, though, has said that they'll pull out if Israel is excluded. Who'd be Eurovision song? Imagine being the chief executive of Eurovision. You'd have thought it was one of the easier jobs. This is the most streamed artist of the year. It's me. There's nothing to this playing music on the radio. I can speak as a veteran of it now. It's incredibly straightforward. You just say it and the artist sings. All the way, Tay-Tay. She is the top UK streamed artist. But with Spotify, you can work out your listening age by the music that you've listened to down the years. I'll show you mine if you show me yours. I'll tell you my age later in the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Front page news, and you've heard it on LBC bulletins as well. Police will be given access to Britain's passport database to catch criminals under an expansion of facial recognition technology. It could be deployed in every city, town and even village in the land. Just think of that. Pause and think of the most remote hamlet that you can think of, and the idea that they're going to stick a camera up there. The government is proposing police could compare photos of crime suspects from CCTV, doorbells and dash cams against facial images on government databases, including the passports of 45 million Britons and immigration records. The plans are part of a Home Office consultation launched today. Another consultation. How many are there? Do you think we need a review about the reviews? Because there are so many on so many issues at the moment. To establish a legal framework for all police forces to use facial recognition technology. So what lies behind this? Let's turn to Katie Bourne, who's the Conservative Police and Crime Commissioner of Sussex, national lead for business and retail crime. Are you for it or against it, Commissioner? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I'm definitely for it, and we've already started trialling it in Sussex with some amazing outcomes as a result.
Tell me the results, Commissioner.
Well, I was with the van when it went live a couple of weeks ago in Crawley High Street. And what happens is police watch list, which they use for the most highest harm offenders. They put them on a list, and if you're on that list, you walk past, the cameras pick you up. If you're innocent, the camera will delete your face and will delete your information within 24 hours. And within the first hour, they picked up two sex offenders.
Good
who were released
grief.
On, like, yes, I know, in Crawley High Street. This was about midday, just outside the big shopping centre, when the children come out for lunch. And they were released on licence. They've got several conditions on their licence. One had 19 conditions. And the police were able to approach them, go through and make sure that they were complying with each of those conditions. Because normally they're out on licence. They would check in with a probation officer maybe once a week, but you don't know what they're up to in the rest of that time.
You won't be surprised, Commissioner. There are many who are expressing fears over privacy. What would you seek to allay their concerns?
I would say there are strict controls around this. So the police in Sussex are only using this for the highest harm offenders. So, sexual predators, rapists, people who use real serious violence and so on. This is about protection, not profiling people. And it's definitely not about surveillance. It's about safeguarding. I want to know, as a mum, I want to know who my children are standing next to in the shopping queue. And I want to make sure that those offenders are being properly managed as well.
But do you want police having access to your passport photograph almost as if it were a mugshot, Commissioner?
Well, what's amazing is when we travel abroad, and a lot of people do nowadays, we're quite happy to take our passports and be checked and have our biometric checks done, our
But that's to gain access to the country, isn't it?
Absolutely. But
my understanding is they will have continual access to my passport photograph.
They won't. If you're on the watch list, i.e. if you are a known offender, then the police have you on that list and they will scan for your face in the crowd. If you're an innocent individual, as you and I are, Nick.
Yes, currently, yes.
Then as soon as you approach the camera, it blurs your face. And if your details are not on the list that it's looking at, it will delete your details almost instantaneously.
But it will have had access to my shot prior to blurring it, won't it? It'll have had to have a look at it. Do you see what
Absolutely.
I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's still...
Yes.
I put my point to you again, Commissioner. It is still a mugshot, then, isn't it?
But at the end of the day, who are we protecting here? Are we protecting citizens, or are we looking out for the rights of offenders? Mm. I want to know who is out in the community.
Of course.
I want to know that those sex offenders who've got, they're out on licence. You know, we've got no rooms left in our prisons now. So people are being let out earlier. Those offenders still have sentences they have to serve, but they're serving them in the community. They're standing next to you and I in that shopping queue. I want to know that I'm safe, that my children are safe, and also I want to know that they're being properly managed in the community. And this is a great way for the police to be able to do that.
Finally, the report says that other public bodies beyond the police and private companies such as retailers could be allowed to use facial recognition. Surely you'd be a little bit nervous about Tesco's or Waitrose having access to this.
Well, all the retailers use retrospective facial recognition at the moment. So they will already capture your face and they can use it retrospectively. What we're talking about today is live recognition in real time as it happens. I'm a big supporter of this. I know
your national lead for business and retail crime.
Absolutely.
So do you think you would be supportive of this for supermarkets and other retail?
I think that's something that would definitely need to be discussed by legislators. And there would need to be very strict rules set around this.
Katie Bourne is Conservative Police and Crime Commissioner for Sussex. Thank you for that. Thanks for the details about the pilot. And obviously, that's great that those offenders were taken off the streets. But there are concerns, and I think they'll be expressed now by Matthew Feeney, who's Advocacy Manager with Big Brother Watch. Mr. Feeney, thank you for coming on the show. Well, you've heard the case there put by, actually, the Crime Commissioner lead for retail crime. Is it a way of trying to combat the soaring amount of shop theft that's going on? Or is it a cause for concern? Which is it? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I was somewhat surprised that the commissioner didn't advocate for fingerprints or cheek swabbing at the end of every high street in response. I mean, if we really wanted to get the crime rate down to zero, we would have cameras in every bedroom and all around the place. The problem is, I'm afraid, that the commissioner outlined a little bit of misinformation. This is not strictly governed. There is no primary legislation governing this use of this technology. And that other countries around the world that are liberal democracies that have taken a look at this have not thought that it is right and proper for law-abiding people to have their faces scanned just going about their day. We should keep in mind that no one, when they went to go and get their driver's license, went to get their passport, thought that they were volunteering a mugshot that the police could check and would be screened every time they popped down to Sainsbury's or Boots. This is very, very disturbing biometric mass surveillance that I think we should all be very concerned about.
But if I take you to Crawley, it recognised two offenders who were out.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's
this... got to be a positive, surely, Mr. Feeney.
Well, yes, but we have to consider and weigh this up against our civil liberties. The price of living in a free society is that we enjoy some degree of anonymity when we go about our daily lives. If the police, going about their business, believe that someone is committing a crime, there are powers for them to stop them, to question them. But it is not the case that just because we want to fight crime, that we allow everyone to be presumed guilty unless they're proven innocent. This does, unfortunately, open the door to a degree of mass surveillance that we don't see in any other liberal democracy across the pond in the United States. There have been some restrictions in the EU. The AI Act actually puts prohibitions on this kind of use of facial recognition, which I think reflects the fact that many people have taken a look at this, have determined that it is a gross civil liberties risk. Well, we already this year, we've had 7 million faces scanned. So people should keep that in mind, as well as the fact that this could stifle legitimate protests as people go about their day and express their political views.
Well, I'm about to go to calls, but let me just put to you what's come in here on a text from Rachel. Tell this man it got two sex offenders off the streets of Sussex. Why does he have an issue with that? That's obviously going back to the story that the commissioner told about Crawley. I mean, if it is getting offenders off, doesn't that rather weaken your position, Mr. Feeney?
Well, keep in mind that this is not anything to do with facial recognition. That's an argument against civil liberties, period. I mean,
It was the trial of the cameras in Crawley that the commission... You might not have heard her say this. They trialled it in Crawley, and they got... And I think in the first day, they got two sex offenders who were out.
No, I'm aware. Look, I do this for a living. I'm aware of what the police say when this...
But that's a good thing, right?
No one wants...
That is a good thing, isn't it, Mr. Feeney?
We all want people to walk around and be safe, of course. No. But if the argument that that in order to achieve a safe society, we need to violate the liberties of millions of law-abiding people has been rejected by every other liberal democracy...
You agree that it was good what happened in Crawley? You accept that?
I accept that it is good for violent, wanted criminals to be off the streets. I do not accept that we should reach to every new technological gadget to achieve that end.
Matthew Feeney, your advocacy manager at Big Brother Watch, thanks for putting the other side of it. Let's get straight to your calls. Alex in Northampton. This really is a yay or nay, isn't it? A binary yes or no. Where are you? Good morning. There's no in between here.
Morning, Nick. Absolutely yay for this one. I think hearing that within an hour's trial it got two sex offenders...
That's proof of pudding, isn't it, really?
...solidified my position that this is fine. I think what a lot of people who are opposed to this are forgetting is that when you're in public, you have no right to privacy anyway.
Oh, no, come on, that's not true.
Yeah, well, no. If you're on the street and somebody is filming you in public, they have every right to film you.
Oh, I see what you mean. I'm so sorry. Yes, yeah. I'm sorry. I misheard you, I think. Yeah, okay, I see what you mean, yeah.
If
you can have your photo, yes. If I decide to get drunk over Christmas and fall around and make a fool of myself, then the Daily Mail takes a photograph, I've got it coming to me. If I do it in my own home, not the same, but I can't do it in the street.
Not you have no right to privacy anywhere if you're in a public space. I just think, I've obviously never committed a crime. I'd like to think neither of you.
Well, define crime. I've done parking tickets and things like that, and unfortunately I was caught speeding unfairly on the A20, the road that didn't put the signs up. But on you go. No, I've not committed any serious crime.
And I just think, as somebody who has never even been suspected of any sort of crime that would get me in any kind of trouble, I just think I'm happy to have my face scanned for 5 seconds and then be deleted once I realise that I'm not a criminal.
That you're Alex of Northampton, and Alex, as you rightly say, it's very hard to argue with the case put forward by the commissioner down in Crawley. As you said, Alex, that's proof of pudding and eating, isn't it? I don't know. Alex, thank you. More calls on this coming in. Plus, this was the last time the United Kingdom won it. Last. Katrina and the Waves, Love Shine a Light in 1997, winning the Eurovision Song Contest, but now there is a fight for its very future. But why? Vote rigging, voting practices, and also whether Israel can sing along. We'll get to that after this. 9:16 LBC News headlines, Thomas Watts.
The use of facial recognition by police forces will be expanded under government plans. The energy watchdog has given the go-ahead to £28 billion of investment to upgrade infrastructure. Another round of peace talks will be held between negotiators from the US and Ukraine in Miami later. LBC weather, rain moving northeastwards, brighter with showers in southern England, Wales and Northern Ireland. A high of 9 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the M23 southbound from the M25 to Junction 9 at Gatwick Airport. It's following an accident and one lane is still closed for recovery. On the M25, there are anti-clockwise queues from Junction 27 at the M11 to 26 at Waltham Abbey. And that's because a lorry broke down and one lane is closed. Very busy in Woolwich, the Plumstead Road stays closed eastbound. And in Dagenham, Porters Avenue is closed northbound because a bus has broken down. Long delays on the A13. Now, this is heading westbound to Dagenham. There's a load of debris across the road. Also, the problems continue on the underground. There are minor delays on the Metropolitan line and also minor delays now on the Waterloo and City line.
This is LBC.
You full?
Uh-huh.
I'm full.
Christmas pudding, anyone?
Yeah, go on then.
Saying you can't eat any more, then eating more anyway. That's what makes it Christmas.
You got any custard, Mum?
Tesco. Every little helps.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
At Fidelity, we've been helping our customers plan for their retirements for nearly 20 years. From understanding how much you'll need to combining multiple pensions, we offer expert insights, excellent service, and even financial advice, so you can feel confidently invested in your future. For pensions, advice, or investment accounts, be invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Transferring is not right for everyone. Terms apply.
They did it again. Flour instead of flowers. On my birthday. And 95 minutes late. But it's hard to leave when you've shared so much. Your postcode, your gluten intolerance. Then I saw it. 25% off your first Ocado shop, plus free delivery. And I just knew I'd found the online supermarket of my dreams. Ocado, life delivered. Geographical restrictions. Min spend £60, max saving £20. Charges and Christmas restrictions apply. New customers only. Terms at Ocado.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's get straight to this facial recognition debate. Luke's in Weybridge. It's binary. It's yes or no. And what is it from you, Luke? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. It's a definite no, I'm afraid.
Oh, tell me why.
Well, I think it's a really lazy argument, for one. If the objective is to, you know, the police commissioner was using fear to encourage us to give up our freedoms. Ooh. So these two individuals that they caught, which were actually already known to the police, mm-hmm. If the objective is to keep track of them better, then keep track of them better. Fit them with GPS trackers, use technology to focus on these individuals who have given up their right to anonymity by what they've done. You don't survey the whole population in order to capture these two individuals. That just doesn't make any sense. There are other ways to solve that problem.
But it made sense in Sussex because they got two offenders, surely.
But they had other ways of getting those offenders.
Which had failed.
Well, why not? I don't know. What are they? Do they fit
well,
the GPS
trackers? We don't know. We don't know. But
there are other alternatives. That's the point. They're using this. This is a lazy approach that is really about keeping track of everybody.
But why? Why are they going to follow me today, coming in from Blackheath, getting on a motorbike to go to ITV, getting back on a motorbike, going to lunch and going home to Blackheath? Why the hell are the police going to follow me doing that? I couldn't care.
Governments are not infallible. Police are not infallible.
No,
there is a tendency towards surveillance and control that exists in society, and we need to recognise that as a risk.
Stay on the line, sir. Peter's in Buckhurst Hill. I think you're more supportive than Luke. Explain why. Good morning.
Well, I haven't seen a policeman on the beat now for about 5 years,
Right.
And let's face it, the police, when they are on the beat, have got their own cameras, so we're automatically cameraed by them when we walk past them, or they walk past us.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is the only way we can reconcile the fact that we can't afford the policeman on the beat, fair enough.
It's a policing tool. Don't go, Peter. Luke, Peter says it's a policing tool. What would you say in response to that?
I'm sorry, then we need to accept there's a price to pay for us to have freedoms. We need to put more police on the beat. I mean, if we end up relying on technology and give up police entirely, is that the direction we really want to go? I mean, today I can walk down the road freely, knowing I've done nothing wrong. But tomorrow, I will have to be worried about some system error that might put me in trouble with the police because they've made a mistake and they've trusted their technology too much.
The legal system in this country is littered with bad cases of wrong convictions, Peter. Luke, surely onto something there?
No, I don't agree. I mean,
well, if he gets misrecognised as a terrorist, and the next thing he knows, he's in a cell and he's having to hire counsel to get him out, that you wouldn't want to move to a country like that, would you, Peter?
Well, if that's the case, that's the case. Because if we can't, do we just accept that anybody can walk around the roads here where they've got out of prison badly or whatever, that they can do as they like? And let's face it, we've got people going out, being let out of prison legally or so-called legally lately, and they couldn't find them for about a fortnight.
Luke?
So why don't we roll out GPS trackers for those individuals that have actually done something wrong? Let's do that. Let's use technology in a focused way instead of tracking everybody.
Final response from you, Peter?
GPS doesn't cover everybody on the streets.
Well, I think Luke's idea is, upon conviction, effectively, you're fitted with a GPS tracker. And, I mean, obviously, there's probably a cost here, but let's continue to explore his theme, and that would solve the problems. Peter?
I don't agree.
Because?
Because, all right, so they can track them.
Right.
But you know as well as I do that those trackers can be removed.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's the case. Gentlemen, thank you. Have a safe day. May your photographs never be taken, Luke and Peter. To other matters. Now, apparently, and we're going to be speaking with an expert, it was this song that's caused the latest rumpus in the Euro song. If I'm saying that correctly, singing New Day Will Rise, Israel's entry into the Eurovision last year, finishing second, obviously doing particularly well. But Israel's very presence there is causing problems. Countries including Ireland, Spain, the Netherlands and Slovenia saying they'll pull out if Israel is in. Germany, meanwhile, is saying they're out if Israel is out. So it's getting tough. And I not even mention rigging and unfair voting practices. We need to turn to an expert. Thank goodness William Lee Adams is standing by. Now, William is founder of WeeWee Blogs, the world's most followed independent Eurovision blog and YouTube channel, and wrote the book Wild Dances, My Queer and Curious Journey to Eurovision. So much to unpack here, William. I mean, I could be with you till midnight. This just goes on and on. I read, and you'll know better, that this is genuinely a watershed moment for Eurosong in Geneva. Why such intense pressure? Morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, this is a watershed moment. As you mentioned there are several countries who have said, if Israel participates, we are out. And then you have other countries saying, well, if Israel goes, we're going to go too. Now, this really comes down to two things today. There's a meeting in Geneva and different member countries, member broadcasters, they're first going to discuss rule changes that happened. Now, these rule changes cover two main things. One is sort of fairness of voting. The EBU has reduced the number of times any single person can vote. Right now, you can vote 20 times. They're reducing that down to 10 times. And the reason for that is on the night of the grand final in May, Israel's leader, Benjamin Netanyahu, he took to Instagram. He said, everyone, you've got to vote 20 times for our singer, Yuval Raphael, who you just played. You had the official Instagram from the State of Israel doing the exact same thing. And this was part of a broad campaign paid for, sponsored by government agencies across YouTube, social media. And all of this was within the rules. It's fair to promote your act, but it was seen by several countries as going too far and becoming an instrument of the government. Now, the EBU says they don't want Eurovision to be be instrumentalized. They want this to be a competition where everyone is welcome and fairness reigns. So that's what that rule change is about. And the second kind of part to that is the EBU has said there can be no disproportionate campaigns. Yes, you can do marketing, but you really can't sort of have the government leading that marketing. Final point on these rule changes, the EBU says it's going to more strongly enforce rules around sort of political content. They don't want artists bringing political content to the stage. An example, in 2024, Israel sent a song originally titled October Rain. Now, this was taken as a clear reference to the October 7th attacks, and there were lyrics referencing, you know, the kind children who were really good people who we've lost. It was very much pointed in one direction. They changed the song to Hurricane and made it a number about perseverance to get around the rule.
Right. When did Eurovision become like Watergate?
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. There have been so many scandals over the decades. But I think in the most recent instance, really 2024, that was when the temperature was raised.
Is when there still a lot of vote rigging going on, do you think, William?
So rigging is a strong word. I think maybe promotion is the correct word. Okay. There was a lot of promotion. You know, clearly people vote based on a number of things, right? Yep. Their love of a song, but also if you're from a smaller country, you want to be seen on the world stage doing well. And I think with Israel in particular, doing well fits with their soft power aspirations. If we can do well at Eurovision in a contest voted by the public, perhaps we're not as politically isolated as people think.
Okay, which way do you think it's likely to go?
It's going to be carnage. It's going to be chaos. Yeah. I think that Israel will end up participating in Eurovision. I think that a number of countries such as France, Australia, they've already said, we're here for the music, we're not here for the politics, we welcome people so we can have dialogue. Eurovision was founded with that principle, bringing countries together who don't always agree. So I think that will end up ruling the day.
When people rush out to order Wild Dances, My Queer and Curious Journey to Eurovision by William Lee Adams, what do they read about, William?
It sort of touches on how the darkness and traumas of my childhood led me to the glitz and glamour of Eurovision.
Really?
It was a complete accident. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm a child of the Vietnam War. My father was a soldier. My mother was a Vietnamese market worker. And then from that came lots of trauma seen and unseen. But ultimately, the universe pushed me to this contest where so many people were welcome, where everyone was big, bold, and extravagant, and as we've discussed, where there is a lot of drama. And who doesn't like to explore all of that as it dovetails with geopolitics?
And is there, you must have been asked this so many times, and honestly, it's a lazy question, but I've got to ask it, is there one song that's been featured during that really encapsulate why you love it so much and the affection you have to it? Is there one you could point them to that my listeners might recall?
Oh, goodness. Every year their songs. I'll shout out to the Netherlands in 2025, actually. Claude, he was a refugee from the Democratic Republic of Congo. He found a new life in the Netherlands, became a star, sang a song to his mother saying, thank you for helping me persevere.
Oh, wow. Hey, I really enjoy speaking with you. Thanks for all the background. Good luck with what you do. William Lee Adams is founder of Wee Wee Blogs, he's on about it again, the Women's Institute. Get the trestle tables out. Wee Wee Blogs, the world's most followed independent Eurovision blog and YouTube channel. That book again, Wild Dances, My Queer and Curious Journey to Eurovision. Now, if we're talking songs, this is one of the most streamed songs on Spotify this year. This is Ordinary by Alex Warren. But those clever folk at Spotify have worked out that you can work out your listening age by what you've been listening to this year, and I'll share mine with you right after this. It's 9:30, Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC News Time. Thomas Watts.
Police forces will be told to ramp up their use of facial recognition cameras to fight crime. The government's asking people for their views on how the technology should be used and regulated. Energy bills will be pushed up by more than £100 by 2031 under plans to upgrade the UK's power networks. The regulator Ofgem says the charges would be even higher without the investment. The Health Secretary Wes Streeting's ordered a review of the diagnosis of mental health conditions. He's said to be concerned about the sharp rise in the number of people with conditions like ADHD and autism on sickness benefits. LBC weather, rain moving northeastwards across the UK, brighter with showers in southern England, Wales and Northern Ireland, a high of 9 degrees.
This is LBC.
There's an old Thai saying that roughly translates as, the family who takes the internet on holiday can locate a less crowded beach. Particularly handy, my friends, if it's peak mating season for nippy little crabs. Pack the internet with an eSIM from Aerolo. That's A-I-R-A-L-O.
You weren't supposed to burn the potatoes or invite everyone round at two. We said three. You weren't supposed to fall asleep on the sofa or ask me to marry you. And you weren't supposed to be here. But you are, thanks to the best gift you ever got. And mine is still having you.
When you donate to the British Heart Foundation, you give a gift that keeps on living. Search BHF today and help us fund life-saving research.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad!
Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use,
interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
There's no middle ground to film or not to film on possibly every village, town, city in the country with these facial recognition cameras. It's very, very divisive. Mark says, I completely agree with the man saying it's surveillance state. I'm sick of the overreach of this government. Meanwhile, Elaine says, I find myself opinionated this morning. Facial recognition is fabulous and exciting. What the flip is wrong with people? Ian's in Edinburgh. Ian, yes or no? And why? Morning.
Well, a definite yes, Nick. Thanks for having me on. Basically, as a retired police officer, I was involved in certain areas of this when CCTV was in its development. Mm. But what I've really phoned in for is because at the moment, the police are being reported in the press and media as virtually being on their knees, resources-wise. And while the facial recognition, I would completely agree with a rollout, who's going to react to these positive things that are coming in to say that this person is either wanted or, as you put it a lot of the time, a suspected terrorist?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'll react to that. But there has to be resources available. The resources are being pared back incredibly. And the police forces, certainly in Scotland, Police Scotland haven't got the resources at the moment to react. These things are obviously also going to have to be monitored from a centralised control room. And I know that the centralised control room is struggling to answer calls. So while there'll be a huge capital investment to roll this out through the government, are they going to match that with a capital investment to bring resources in to react to the situations arising from the hits that they're getting?
Well, you're right, aren't you, sir? Because there's no point putting these cameras up if you haven't got the blokes and women to go and then nick the bad guy.
That's my point, exactly.
You're right. What of the idea from an earlier caller, Ian, Luke, who said we need better ways of monitoring the actual bad guy with tags, electronic tags, or ideas such as that? Perhaps our monitoring could be improved and then we wouldn't need cameras on every street corner. What do you think?
Well, there's an issue there as well. The electronic tag situation, should that not be operated, monitored and run by the probation service? And again, what we've got is a situation, certainly in Scotland, where we're calling out for what is the police's role? Is it to investigate and look at crime, or is it to fill in for everybody else who's fallen through the holes? So we're filling in for health at the moment, because everything that comes in relation to mental health, when there's nobody to attend, it falls to the police. But is it really a policing role?
No. Finally, how long ago did you leave the job?
8 years ago.
What do you miss about it?
Oh, you certainly miss the people, but I think it's moved on and changed so much that it's beyond what it was even 8 years ago. And
if you were a young man again, Ian, would you go into the job or not?
I would. Yes, I would. But it would be a different job that I was joining.
Ian, thanks for all your input. We'll come back to facial recognition. Lot of reaction. We will feature some of that. But let's talk a little bit about Eurovision Song Contest. Now, let's be candid. You and I, in reality, we don't really know how the vote rigging goes on, or unfair voting practices, or whatever it might be. But it's pretty easy to have a view of whether Israel can take part or not. And they have an extraordinary split on their hands. Because if they allow Israel, if they, being the Eurovision Song Contest in Geneva meeting today, if they allow Israel to compete, then according to what the stance they've taken, they have to bid farewell to Ireland, Spain, the Netherlands, Slovenia, and possibly other countries. However, if they don't allow Israel to compete, Germany, which is one of the major funders, along with the United Kingdom, France, and a couple of other countries, so it's one of the major funders, Germany will pull out. And I would imagine, almost certainly, I can't see why it wouldn't, it will take its cash with it. So what's the right decision? Kate is in Watford. Katie, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. We spoke about a month ago, Nick, because I just visited Israel.
Right.
And I have to say, I was in that southern area, and I went into the bomb shelter where Yuval Rafael, Israel's latest contestant for the Eurovision, was under bodies for 8 hours. She was injured, terrified, and it was a tiny little bomb shelter. You know, we fit 4 people standing in there. There were about 50 young people in there. So maybe people voted for her because they really thought this was a real triumph against adversity, that what she experienced.
Okay. Yes.
I think it's a slippery slope if you exclude Israel. We all know that there are forces that wish Israel to be excluded from all sorts of areas, football being one of them, and they'll do nothing. You know, we saw what happened with West Midlands Police. They've proven that's the false information that was given to them. I think Eurovision has always been politicised. You know, we've often got nil point Britain when we've been out of favour with our European friends.
Right.
But I think excluding a country who, you know, is fighting for its life, really, I think it wouldn't be right. I think it is about the music. It's about the broadcasters. And I think that would be a real slippery slope.
The only thing I would say, and I was with you, but when I was speaking to our Euro expert, William, and he told us that this year, the Israeli government urged everybody to vote 20 times. I don't think that's particularly favourable attempted manipulation, do you?
I think I saw on social media lots of different countries saying to vote 20 times. Obviously, it's coming from the government. I can see.
Did other countries do that? I didn't know that. Is that true?
I think in terms of a social media campaign, I'm not aware of whether other countries did that. You could certainly institute a rule whereby it shouldn't be government led, but potentially it should be broadcaster led, because ultimately this, you know, Israel, Australia, they're not in the European.
No.
They're not in Europe.
No.
But they're obviously part of it because they're part of the European broadcasting campaign. So if you had broadcasters being allowed to do that. Exactly, that would be allowed. I can see that that's the problem, but I slightly think that they would be using any excuse to say that Israel should be excluded, as they did the previous year where there was no such camp.
Lastly, do you think the countries, and the simple answer to this question, Nick, is to say, Nick, ask them, do you think Ireland, Spain, Netherlands, do you think they will walk out?
It's a real interesting one. You'd think they should do, because if they're so principled, they should do. I don't think it's the correct decision, because I don't think Israel should be vilified in such a way. But if they don't, then I think, you know, it's an interesting an argument to show that they really haven't got the morals that they say they have.
Katie, enjoyed our conversation. Look after yourself. Look forward to talking to you again. Let's go back to its facial recognition. This is the story that's really got you talking. So we have to say, well done to the editor or editors of the Daily Telegraph, because no two newspapers had the same front page story. So as an old newspaper man, in every sense of the word, it's fascinating to see that this is the one that's really ignited your interest. So well done over there. They got the right splash. James in Norwich, what should happen with these cameras? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. I think it's brilliant. We've got, an automatic number plate recognition, ANPR.
Yes.
If you catch a number plate being a car doing a crime.
Yeah, but that's not my face. So if I'm driving a car without insurance, that's not my face, is it, that comes out?
I understand, but I think the concept of it works really well. And that's pretty much what facial recognition is.
Sure.
Apart from so people get their garage broken into. They've all got Ring door cameras. Your car got stolen,
didn't it?
If someone had got that on camera, you're asking the local called Bobby to try to remember thousands of faces who may have committed minor crime. These basically AMP, these new cameras will be like, right, that person stole Nick's car, he's wanted for questioning, and there he is on the high street getting in.
Any problem with Boots, Matalan, JD Sports being able to access these photographs as well?
I'm already suffering because people are stealing so much stock from these shops. They're probably putting their prices up to compensate for the stock being lost. I'm already having to pay for it.
And to Luke, the caller's point, if you look uncannily like a sex offender or a terrorist and you walk down Norwich High Street or whatever and you get nicked, that's not great for you, of course, James.
I don't want to go into a police station, but ultimately, Nick, I'm innocent, and the justice system is brilliant. I'll go in, they'll say, oh, I've got the wrong guy here, he looks a bit like him, sorry, James, sorry to mess you up, and I'm sure there'll be a way on the cameras to sort of say, you know, this person does look a little bit like it, if one innocent person has to go in for a little bit of questioning to defend his innocence, to say that, oh yeah, we've got the wrong guy, which means the actual sex offender gets caught, I haven't got an issue with that.
James, look after yourself, have a safe day in Norwich, thank you. Ian in New Towners in Northern Ireland, Ian, do you have problems with it? Good morning.
If you'd asked me a few years ago, Nick, yes, good morning, sorry.
Good morning, sir.
If you'd asked me a few years ago, yeah, I would have said, no, bring it on. If you've done nothing wrong, you've nothing to fear.
Yeah, always.
However, two of your, I'll call them professional contributors, one, I think, was a crime commissioner. I think the other quoted was a chief constable. The commissioner, I believe, I've been around the fishbowl once, so forgive me if I've got this wrong.
Right, don't worry.
But the commissioner said that the things would be deleted within 24 hours.
Yes, that's what's right, yep.
The chief constable, I think, said to be deleted within milliseconds.
That was the commissioner, yes, you're absolutely right. So that means you're still on side with it or not? What does that do for you?
Well, no, it puts a doubt in my mind as to how long we're going to hold on to this data. And, you know, whichever one of those may be the case at the minute, doesn't mean to say that the government won't change their mind and 6 months or a year's time and keep it in the file for a year, 5 years or whatever. But my initial response, I'm just a bit out of breath.
No, that's all right.
My initial response whenever I first rang the station this morning was, what are we going to do about all these people that participate in marches? I will put my stall out and say, particularly the left side of...
Okay. I mean, what's interesting is, of course, in Northern Ireland, you're no stranger to marches there, and there is a well-known antipathy towards the authorities. How do you think the idea would go down where you live, Ian?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with you that there is a general antipathy towards the authorities. It may come from one side of the community.
Okay.
The other side of the community generally will accept the force of law and order.
Okay.
But the other point I wanted to make to the nice lady that took my call was, what are they going to do about areas that would have a proliferation of burqas or niqabs?
Well, they're obviously not going to work there, are they? That's the point that we have to... Well, it's the point that they'll have to examine. Ian, thank you. You weren't out of breath. You made a great point. Thanks for that. Talking about the nice lady who took the call, as Ian called her, I think she's in her 20s, but what's her Spotify age? I'll tell you after the news. John's in Coventry. John, let's talk about these cameras. Can they work? Morning.
Morning, Nick. Ian's just took my thunder because I was going to make the same point that people put up security cameras around the houses, and what do the tea leaves do? The first thing they do is put a mask on. I mean, you see the proliferation of people walking around with strange face coverings at the moment. Like, I mean, young males in the middle of summer with scarves around their face. So,
but also, have you seen these COVID, COVID masks, face masks have returned. A lot of people are wearing those again, John. I don't know if you've seen that in Coventry.
Yeah, and that's gonna change the scheme of things. But I mean, talking about your other gentleman who rang in before, who said, "I've got no problem with being dragged in by the police and being found innocent." Does he not remember the Birmingham Six? I mean, like, you know, sort of these people that are like,
right,
they fit the scheme, and the police will try and get a conviction, and then 20 years later say,
oh. You're right. Although I do think with DNA, the law of detection and indeed conviction has moved on. John, is it fair to say that after the Birmingham Six?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. But at the same time, the only people who don't have facial coverings are pretty much the innocent people. Where you're going to have the police sort of targeting, using huge resources, and clogging themselves up, getting false convictions, while the other blokes are going to be masking up and robbing your house. So it's a joke. It's not worth it.
John, thank you for that. coming up after the news. They've hit the spot. Of my wedding. I might explain it to you one day. Pink Pony Club is one of the top street artists, and as Ian the caller said, the nice young woman who answered the phone, you can find out your listening age, your age, your listening age. So my colleague, who I think is in her mid-20s, her listening age is 64. What's yours? And how do you get it? We'll talk about it more after this. 9:45, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The Home Office is pushing ahead with controversial plans to expand police facial recognition across the country. The energy regulator Ofgem's approved plans to spend £28 billion on network upgrades, pushing up bills. And the Health Secretary's ordered a review of the diagnosis of mental health conditions like ADHD and autism. LBC weather, rain moving northeastwards across the UK, a bit brighter in southern England, Wales and Northern Ireland, a high of 9 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Traffic is being held on the M2 westbound at Junction 5 at Sittingbourne. It's following an accident. Also, long delays continue on the M23 southbound from the M25 down to Junction 9 at Gatwick Airport. Those emergency repair works are now taking place after an accident. And the Essex stretch of the M25 is slow anti-clockwise from Junction 27 at the M11 to 26 at Waltham Abbey. And that's because a lorry broke down and one lane is closed for recovery. Now, on the trains, much better news for South Eastern services. They're back up and running now between Lewisham and Hayes. That line was suspended after investigation, but it's back up now. But there are still minor delays on the Metropolitan and Waterloo and City lines.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
How to be spooked by facial recognition cameras if you've got nothing to hide, and ADHD and sundry other conditions. What if there's no mystery? There's just loads more of it about.
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or our new LBC app.
Hey Sainsbury's, have you got anything to help my money go further?
Well, if you want to make some big savings, make sure to use Nectar Prices and your Nectar Prices at Sainsbury's. Together they can save you over £450 a year on your food shop.
Bring it on.
Download the Nectar app and tap into great savings. Sainsbury's, good food for all of us. 18 plus Nectar app required. For full terms, see help.sainsburys.co.uk/help/nectar prices.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Train to Cambridge and then all aboard the paddleboards. A little bit different, should be fun. Or wobbly, or wet.
The wetsuit's a good look on you, Steve.
Oh, actually, this is very relaxed.
George is up the river cam without a paddle.
Train home, that was such a laugh. I think I might even have a new hobby. Download the Thames Link Railway app to book tickets and save a third off group travel on off-peak journeys. Thames Link Railway, where every stop is a story.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Life feels better with a smile. Fanning Dental Group Clinics. Modern, comfortable and affordable dentistry for all. See online for our price match promise. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling, and the whole world smiles with you.
Banningdental.co.uk.
For the nappies, peekaboos, and tea parties, mess, tantrums, and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures, and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Oh, Black Friday is non-stop. Orders, calls, messages.
Sounds like you need the right sidekick to keep business booming, Claire.
Go on.
In EE's Black Friday sale, you can save £720 on a 36-month plan with the Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra. Perfect for keeping your business running smoothly.
What a deal. Thanks, Kev.
Search EE Business today. BT and EE. Better for business.
Excludes 20% VAT. Ends 4th of December. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's take a welcome diversion away from conversations about crime and sex offenders and try and make your day brighter a little bit here. And spot on today for Spotify.
Something's the world from the ordinary. You got me kissing the ground.
opportunities, is it? Do people actually get paid to talk, to put music on the radio? It couldn't be more straightforward. How easy? And then all you have to say is, "That Was Ordinary" by Alex Warren, "That's So True," Gracie Adams, "Messy," Lola Young, "Pink Pony Club," Chapel Roan, and "Birds of a Feather," Billie Eilish. They were the top five most streamed songs. But what about the marketing wizard that is Spotify, Rhea Freeman, award-winning PR specialist and expert in influencer marketing? Have Spotify got the spot, hit the spot so well? What have they done? Morning, Rhea.
Morning. Absolutely. Every year, people get excited about Spotify Wrapped. They share Spotify Wrapped. It's great for, obviously, the artists. It's great for the people listening. And it's really good for podcasts as well. You see podcasters resharing and resharing that, those posts as well.
So they've identified the phenomenon. We've just paid funds. What strikes me for all of those, and you'll be far better at this than I, these are real upbeat. People want to hear upbeat music at these troubled times, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the world is depressing enough. You want a bit of light relief when you're in your car or you're in your house, don't you?
Totally do. Where does this phenomenon go next?
Well, I've actually seen some other brands releasing their own rap. Which I'm not quite sure how that works from a sort of IP point of view, but still, that's not my problem. But I think what you see is people are keen to share what they're doing. They're keen to share their music taste. You know, we share our life on social media so people can relate to us and connect with us. And this is another way of doing that, through the music we like, through the podcast we listen to. And it is an incredible marketing tool for Spotify. Now, don't listen to anyone. Listen to Spotify, because we put together what you listen to, and then you can be proud and share that with your friends.
What's the next step in the world of influencer marketing, would you say, Rhea?
Well, that's a big question.
It is.
I think we're going to see more and more very relatable, unpolished content. I think we went through a phase of everything being super highly edited and super polished, and now we're seeing more and more real life. I think people feel they want that connection to the actual person, not just what they've decided to show us in that minute with all their makeup on, even though the rest of their life is a disaster. We want to connect with them on a deeper level.
Rhea Freeman is a PR specialist and expert in influencer marketing. Thanks for your input. Now, those clever folk at Spotify put out something called Spotify Wrapped. It shows users their own listening habits by packaging song, artist and podcast charts into shareable graphics. And for the first time this year, if you're on it, it included an estimate of people's age based on their habits, on their listening habits. So you might think that you're in your 30s, but your listening habits might take you into your 60s. This has prompted some discomfort reports of Times, who those who felt their listening age reflected poorly on them. Thoughts and prayers to those violated by the listening age, sports retailer JD Sports posted on social media. So, of course, we had to ask around the team. I have one colleague who, unbelievably, is in his mid-50s. Well, he came out as 76. The producer, who's 27, came in at 31. Other people are in their mid-20s, one of whom came out as 76, and she's 25. What the hell is she listening to? But as I'm sharing so much, I have to do that. I am in my 60s, and I came out as 76. So, not that far. And that was probably down to the fact that Bruce Springsteen rather edged me over the top there, but I do like a bit of The Boss. We might talk about that, but at least we had a welcome detour. We're going to talk facial recognition, definitely. Trevor's in Swindon. You ready for a camera to go up in that part of Wiltshire? Actually, they're probably already there. Good morning.
Good morning. No, I'm not prepared for that to happen, because it's already happening in China with the social credit system.
Ah.
It's based upon your way of life is controlled from the moment you open your eyes in the morning until you go to sleep at night.
And how are they doing that, sir? How are they doing that?
They're doing it by millions of surveillance cameras that are scanning your face day and night, right throughout China. And this is going to come into Britain by the back door.
How do you know this? I just want to get a few more details. How do you know this?
Well, my daughter and her family went through China. Mm-hmm. I've seen also videos on this.
Right.
And it is, this is the way the Communist Chinese Party controls the people.
Right.
And in the end times, everyone will come under this social credit system. So that if you're not a good person or you're a bad person, you get awarded points.
Right.
That's a bit of a stretch. You can have your bank account cancelled.
That's a bit of a stretch from putting a camera on Swindon High Street, though, isn't it, in all honesty?
Well, it's going to happen. No, it has to happen because...
Trevor, sir, you're being a bit an alarmist, because when you're in your home, they're not going to be photographing you in your home, Trevor.
Well, who knows?
Well,
it might come to that.
Well, then up with that, no one would put... But if it is shown that it can get offenders, as the pilot showed in Sussex, sorry, that has to be a good thing.
But it'll be used against people who don't like the regime, who happen to be in power. If you're in China, you don't like certain things the Communist Party is doing, and you say so, you can be shut down or removed.
All right. I hear your fears, and I recognise them, and I respect. I think they're a little bit overstated, but let's see what others make of it. Getting your Spotify ages here. This is a kit. My 10-year-old son came out as 73. He does listen to a lot of the Eagles. Niles says, I like classical music. Will that make me 200? I don't think they'll actually... Oh, here we go, there's another one coming in. What's your name? Here we go. Ray. Spare a thought for my son. He's 17. He likes blues music as a guitar player. He had a listening age of 80. That's terrible. Oh, it's Patrick. I'm sorry, Patrick. Oh, you've sounded a bit right. OK. John's in Fleet, about cameras. John, yes or no? Good morning.
Oh, hello, Nick. It's a definite no from me. I'm actually a bit surprised about the naivety of many callers phoning in.
Right.
And the reason for that, okay, it's great at the moment. You know, criminals can be arrested and quickly identified. But what happens in the future under a potential future government, not naming any names of any governments, but okay, people can make their own minds up. What happens when that government decides that it's an offence to go out and protest against one of their policies? And then all these people that are protesting against their policies, they've got all their possible details, they're on facial recognition, they can go around to the houses, round them all up. And
but they could do that anyway, couldn't they? They would be able, if we had a government that took that retrograde step, they could just instruct the police to nick them the minute they turned up. Yeah, they don't need the cameras then.
Well, no, but if there's a mass protest, and you know, there's not that many police on the street to go and arrest everyone.
But they video. I see what you're saying.
Look, John, they can go and arrest them at home.
Honestly, I get your complaint or concerns. I get it. But I'm sure you've seen, like me, all these demos now. They have video officers, police officers who are videoing absolutely everything, as much as the news teams are.
They are, but do we want to make it?
But they've got it all. The point I'm making, John, they've got it already, haven't they? Do you not think?
To a limited extent, they have, but I think this is a far wider-reaching technology. Could I just finish with a quote?
Go on.
Benjamin Franklin.
Yes.
Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety, do they deserve neither liberty nor safety?
And that was who says
that? Written in 1775.
All right. Well done. Can I finish with Pink Pony Club, Chapel Roan? That was written more recently. John, thank you very much. You had the last word. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app, where you can stay up to date on the top stories and opinions, put your news categories in the order you want, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. I'm done for today. I'll be back tomorrow morning from 7. James Ryan Bryan's The Other Side of the News here on LBC. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where I suspect we're going to be returning to two of the topics that Nick has just been enjoying with you. I am eternally drawn to that hinterland between authoritarianism and security. It's probably one of those quotes that it turns out Voltaire didn't say after all, but anybody who is prepared to sacrifice their liberty upon the altar of security deserves neither, has a certain resonance to it, doesn't it? And yet, I don't have the viscerally negative response to the idea of facial recognition cameras that I might expect myself to. I do, however, have a lot of thoughts about Wes Streeting's review into ADHD diagnoses.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, civil liberties groups have criticised Home Office plans to ramp up the use of live facial recognition by police forces. A public consultation is starting on how controversial systems should be governed. It's already led to 1,300 arrests in London. The Shadow Policing Minister, Matt Vickers, says the technology is a power for good.
It is a no-brainer. Of course, you need to look at what the processes and procedures are around it to make sure it's used lawfully and professionally. But actually, it can make our policing so much more efficient and make a real difference. The last government rolled it out. Police forces across the country are using it to great effect to catch some of the most heinous and vile criminals around.
Household energy bills will rise by around £100 by 2031 under plans to upgrade the UK's power networks. Ofgem says the charges would be even higher without the £28 billion investment. The Health Secretary has ordered a review into the rising demand for mental health services in England. Wes Streeting is said to be concerned about the number of people with conditions like ADHD and autism claiming benefits. The figure's risen by 1.2 million since 2019. The public health lecturer Dr. Simon Williams says that's partly a result of better diagnosis.
What the review should do is really look at what is it that is creating a society where we have so much mental health. And I think the earlier we can catch these things, oftentimes adolescent, even childhood mental, or should I say emotional problems and unrest can turn, if untreated, if unrecognized, into adult mental health problems.
Britain and Norway have signed a defence pact to counter Russian submarine activity. The deal, combining their warship patrols, is aimed at protecting critical undersea cables in the North Atlantic. The mayor of the Liverpool City region has announced plans to bring the city's Dockland back to life. Steve Rotherham says the regeneration will deliver thousands of homes and commercial space near the new Everton Stadium. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading down at 9 points at 96.97. The pound buys $1.33 and a euro 14. LBC weather, rain moving northeastwards across the UK, brighter with showers in southern England, Wales and Northern Ireland, a high of 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Hey Sainsbury's, have you got anything to help my money go further?
Well, if you want to make some big savings, make sure to use Nectar Prices and your Nectar Prices at Sainsbury's. Together they can save you over £450 a year on your food shop.
Bring it on.
Download the Nectar app and tap into great savings. Sainsbury's, good food for all of us. 18 plus Nectar app required. For full terms, see help.sainsburys.co.uk/help/nectar-prices.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Three minutes after 10 is the time. A very good morning indeed to you. What if it just is? What if it just is? It's just a thing that is happening. There are questions to ask about why and what we should be doing about it, but is it helpful to ask a question about whether it is really happening? Because what if it just is? Would we ever satisfactorily establish that it is just happening in the minds of the people who will always be convinced that it isn't? I speak of Wes Streeting's decision to launch an independent review into rising demand for mental health, ADHD and autism services in England. And it will look at both whether there is evidence of overdiagnosis and what gaps in support exist. And that speaks directly to the question that I just asked you. What if it just is? What if there is no overdiagnosis, or where there is so little overdiagnosis that it makes no difference whatsoever to the overall numbers? Because it speaks so directly to the narrative of lies, the narrative of lead swinging, the narrative of faking it, or pretending, or exaggerating in pursuit of some often unspecified goal, usually benefits related, usually welfare related, that there's always a danger with this stuff, that it will do more harm than good. You know, there is no smoke without fire. Why on earth would you have an investigation into overdiagnosis if there were no overdiagnosis? But, you know, I might be sounding a bit naive to you, a bit too trusting. I often think that we run very real risks in our society, and probably all societies that are free, of taking extreme examples and promoting or pretending that they are representative of the whole. You know what I mean. You find one bad apple and you use that bad apple to malign and denigrate the entire barrel. I mean, it is a good business model in some senses. It's very effective politically for populists and bigots and both. You find one bad apple and you use that bad apple to malign an entire barrel. It never happens to majorities.
in societies. You will never see a crime being committed, for example, by a middle-aged, middle-class white man, and wake up the next morning as a middle-aged, middle-class white man thinking, oh no, here we go again. I don't know that we can stress this point enough, actually. As a middle-aged, middle-class white man, or any class at all, just as a white British man in this country, you are never going to wake up in the morning, hear the news headlines and think, oh no, my life's going to get harder today because I share characteristics and attributes with that person. If you're from an ethnic minority, you know what that feels like. If you're Muslim, you know what that feels like. If you're Jewish, you know what that feels like historically and currently. But if you are a white, British, Anglo-Saxon, I don't know what phrase you want to use, but somebody who is not a member of any minority, because of course if you're gay, you may get caught up in some of this. Different levels for different groups. But if you are of the majority, the homogenous majority, you will never know what that feels like. And listen, I'm not particularly on my high horse yet this morning. Note the yet, please. I'm not in my pulpit yet. I'm just pointing it out because some people still pretend not to understand what phrases like white privilege mean. You will never know what it's like to hear about a terror attack or a terrible crime being committed by somebody with whom you share attributes and feel fear if the attributes you currently have are essentially part of the homogenous majority. So what is it about you that we should be having evidence or an inquiry about overdiagnosis of? What is it about you that Wes Streeting thinks we should treat with suspicion? I don't know. But it ain't going to be something that the homogenous majority of the population have. You can be sure of this. Okay, so park that, semicolon. No, full stop, new paragraph. But what if there is an epidemic of overdiagnosis? Then it is in all our interests to address it. I don't think there's anything controversial about identifying the other area of this inquiry where people with health problems, mental health problems, or ADHD or autism have been let down. The system has not been able to keep up with the pace of change, with the extreme increase in diagnoses. Some of the waiting lists are absolutely unbearable. And of course, in the fourth or fifth paragraph of whatever story you are reading with regard to this inquiry launched by Wes Streeting, you will read that it comes as ministers seek to tackle a growing welfare bill. So, full stop, new paragraph, there goes the alarm bell again. You are approaching these diagnoses with a presumption, I think, of suspicion. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be mooting the possibility of overdiagnosis. So, listen, the reason I'm pointing this out to you, and I apologise if it didn't need pointing out, but sometimes I need to get my own thoughts in order before I start asking you what yours are. The reason I'm pointing this out to you is that it is one of those stories where there are cases, there are opposing cases to be made, but somewhere in between those opposing cases, in the hinterland, tone becomes crucially important. So are we overdiagnosing? Who is going to be able to answer that question except anecdotally? And by anecdotal